Hey there, friends. Bo Bishop here, and the Hoops action is heating up, and Tipico Sportsbook is the best place to bet on the playoff action. Enjoy the most rewarding sportsbook with the hottest promos. Bet on select games. Earn a bet credit for each three-pointer made. Continue to rack up the rewards with the highest cashback in the industry with up to 5% cashback on your bets. Sign up now. Enter the promo code THEFAN100 to get $100 in bonus bets when you bet $25. Download the Tipico Sportsbook app today. That's promo code THEFAN100. Must be 21 or older, physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Congratulations, your morning just got a bit classier. A media legend, a ferocious linebacker, a clueless producer, and you.
Searching for a replacement window online? Visit windownation.com today.
So raise a glass and act accordingly. This is Bishop and Laurinaitis.
All right, let's do it live on a First Friday Miracle edition of the program. How you live at threes?
Oh, I'm living the dream. Not living as good as Elvis Merzlikens, that's for sure.
He's
but
really
I'm living. I'm living the dream, brother. I mean, we got the torrential downpour.
A lot of rain.
We got the flooding of the stream, which is great. I had some
I had some
work done to help bring up the elevation some, and it seems to be working thus far. You know, you can only do so much. The hard thing is that it's not really the I'm not even convinced it's the elevation of the land. It's the fact that you're dealing with a steep hill down to the stream, right? So you're dealing with runoff and all the water that comes from the barn. We have underground trenched pipes that
all
run down the hill, you know? So that's running down the hill into the stream. And then the stream gets really shallow there. So it's almost like the stream's fault. It's not the land outside the stream. Like, the stream is super deep, and then there's a certain area where it's only it's wide, but it's only maybe 18 inches deep, and then when it's got so dry, a lot of grass started growing, right?
Sure.
Natural grass and the little cattails, all that stuff starts growing up. And now the water doesn't go through that. Now it's actually going around all that grass, you know? And I'm like, I need to get a big digger down here and just scoop all. I know I can't touch the native plants. I know. Don't be writing me emails. I understand that.
Like, you're a man of the earth.
Ohio wetland, you know, they put the pink pegs on it. I've been through that, so I won't touch that. But all the other stuff, I feel like.
Are you trying to divert the stream? Are you considering diverting the stream?
I'm not diverting the stream. I am. I can't divert the stream. I've gone through that before when I thought about developing. I know what areas
I can. Oh, you know what you can and can't do.
Yes.
Yeah, very specific. I do know that.
Yeah. The funny thing is that they come in and say, don't touch this or that. You didn't even know the stream existed. All right? It's not even on your damn map here. Okay? It didn't exist before all this development happened and you put storm runoff to come through here, but that's another point. Okay? Anyway. No, I just want to be able to, like, after today, when it dries out in 2 days, to be able to mow close to the stream. And what we had before was we would have the bank, and then the land would sink down, and then the hill would go up. So you'd have this puddling of water. And so I think we've negated that. I don't know. I'm still getting, I think, 3 or 4 more truckloads of dirt dropped off here in October. But anyway, so you know, it's my first time really seeing a heavy rain. Seeing what that stream looks like. So,
how's Bill the Beaver?
I think we scared Bill the Beaver off.
No.
There hasn't been any more chewing on the tree since. Yep.
Oh, so, too much scent.
But with some of this wind, I don't know, that tree might just keep going. I mean, honestly, it would take me firing up the chainsaw, maybe getting in 3 inches, and that thing's fallen anyway. So, I'm not doing it.
Man.
I'll let Bill take care of it.
I really wanted a winter of Bill the Beaver and his family.
Yeah. I think Bill has stopped so far. On that tree.
I hate to say it. Yeah. He moved downstream.
He did.
Moved downstream.
He did.
Yeah, very good. Look, you're going to hear from Coach Day on – you're playing Akron, man.
Yep.
Like, you're on the call. Of course we're going to watch the game. It's a 7:30 start. But I don't know what – let's just start here, and we'll get to Elvis in a second because I want to get to that too. But let's just start here. I don't know what you do – if you are the athletic director at Akron, if you're the president of the university, I don't know what you do. And they're the team we play this week, so we'll talk about them. I mean, they had Terry Bowden up there coaching, and they had some success. He was big in the transfer portal. He was trying to get guys up there that way. He had Chuck Amato, who's a coach at NC State and a legendary co-defensive coordinator at Florida State. He had a lot of those guys on that FSU staff were up there at Akron trying to build something there. And they were respectable from the standpoint of wins and losses. They were respectable on the field, but there's a ceiling to it. So the end is not great, and so Terry Bowden is gone, and they hired the coach who was at, I think, John Carroll, right, up there in Cleveland? I want to say they hired him, and he won a lot at John Carroll and kind of pushed himself into the Mount Union stronghold when it comes to being a small school, really good at football, and Mount Union is the king of that, obviously. So they hire him, and the idea is we got to get some Ohio kids at Akron. I'll be honest with you. I don't know. And a good buddy of mine played at Akron, played tight end at Akron. I don't know that Akron needs to play football because I don't know that I don't know that it's sustainable.
I think there's a lot of MAC schools.
Right. That's what I'm saying. We're using them because we play M3s, right?
To drop down.
Yeah. I'm using them as the example, but I think there's a lot of them that are in this boat.
Yes. And you're not alone.
No.
You're not alone in that. I think that there is a feeling of that. I was talking to I was talking to Coach Trussell about this. He said that
he was the president there.
When a lot of people, you know, start talking about all these, he's like, a lot of the MAC schools are saying, I don't know how we're going to get through the pandemic and money and this, that, and we're coming up short this much. And he goes, I know how. Drop down a level.
Yeah.
And you know, all of a sudden you start having a little more success on the field. The fan base enjoys winners. More, you know, better competition, all that. Go play North Dakota State. And look, North Dakota State would beat Akron. Like, that's not even...
Sure they would.
It's not even close. Montana would beat Akron.
Yep.
They have a very athletic quarterback. So they made the switch against Temple. And so the quarterback gets injured, wasn't doing too well anyway. So this kid comes in. And starts tossing the ball around and has a nice arm, but also can really run. Is very talented. So don't be surprised Saturday night if, like, it's 3rd and 6 and he rattles off like a 25 yarder. Like, don't throw your remote. He's going to get some yards. Okay. He just got the MAC East Offensive Player of the Week, DJ Irons Jr. Number 0. I don't like quarterbacks in number 0, but it's beside the point. Anyway, and then they have a wide receiver number 3 who makes some catches, right? Production. So anyway, besides that, like, their O-line looks really small, really small. I mean, I don't even know where Bryant is. Do you know where Bryant is? The college? I don't even know. I've never heard of it. I have no idea. I haven't looked
it up.
I probably won't. So, anyway, they were up 14-0 against them. Bryant comes back and scores. So what does that tell you? The line of scrimmage wasn't that dominated against Bryant, which I don't even know existed as a school, and I don't even know it had football. So this Saturday night is a really tough one. Like, there are tough ones, but this is a really, really tough one to battle through.
Yeah, it is. And you see them. I saw that Tennessee was supposed to play Army, and they switched it to Akron in, like, 2022. They had the big SEC schedule reveal last night, which was – kind of genius if you have a network. They revealed the 2022 SEC football schedule last night.
I love it. What was the biggest game?
Georgia plays Oregon next year.
Wake Forest, and we're going to pump up Wake as if they're like a top 20
Georgia plays Oregon next year, man.
Oh, there we go.
I mean, like, in Oregon,
do we play Notre Dame next year?
Yeah, I think so, right?
Gosh, Marcus Freeman.
I mean, I don't look that far ahead, but they do.
I don't either.
So, this Akron team got beat. Think about this. Think about you. I told the story about Florida A&M yesterday. All right, they opened the season at Auburn and lost 60-10. So that's a physical bludgeoning.
Yeah.
Then they played Temple. Temple beat them 45-24. And Temple, okay, right?
Yep.
Then they beat Bryant, to your point, and then they play us, and then they play. Then they host Ohio after that, and then they're into MAC play. But how do you even survive it? That's the thing. And so that's going to be the tricky part for Ryan Day this week. That's going to be the tricky part, frankly, for us on the show. It's a tricky part for more, especially for Akron. Mm-hmm. How do they just survive it and get through it and try to still be standing by the time they're done with Saturday night? Because whether the final score covers 50 or whatever, here's what will happen. There will be a physical toll paid by the Akron players.
Yes.
And this isn't the opener, right? You're a month into the season now. And the physical toll will be a big toll. So that's
the thing
right there.
Yeah, if you are Akron, you have to start to think of, okay, what when they put their backups in, meaning us, do we put some of our depth in to rest our starters? Because they have guys who play their tail off. Like, they have a linebacker, number 27, in the middle that, I mean, the guy had to have 10 tackles in the first quarter against Bryant. He's undersized. He's tough as nails. He probably was a wrestler in high school, you know, like, but just a, like, I enjoy watching him.
Yeah.
He plays really low, has great technique, paces the ball well, and then flies around. The problem is he's not very big, right? But a dude who was probably an absolute rock star in his high school got overlooked. And I love watching him play. Because you'll just see him fly to the ball and just aggressive jump on the pile like I used to. You know, like, you get a lot of tackles jumping on the pile. So it's, but yeah, I think that there's a physical toll to where if you're them, you say, all right, do we want to keep throwing our guys out here against legit bigger, faster, stronger people and have our team get hurt in a game that we're obviously not coming to win, we're coming to collect a check. And they will never say that, but
that's the reality.
Can. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the reality. This from Ohio State yesterday as well. We talked a little bit about the 76,000 tickets. Per Ohio State, approximately 20,000 people had tickets to Saturday's game against Tulsa but did not attend. I'll tell you what, I'll give them credit for this because they gave the actual as opposed to the sold.
Yep.
And that's a I'm going to tell you what, I've heard a lot of people talk on national podcasts, local, talk about, you know, oh, they had 100,000 at Michigan, or they had this. Listen, you talked about Nebraska yesterday. They're announcing sold, I assure you.
Mm-hmm.
So that's season tickets.
Yeah.
They're not talking about the people who go through the turnstiles, right? So I give credit to Ohio State for being honest about tickets scanned, right? Yep. Yep. As opposed to tickets sold, because tickets sold is all that matters. It's all that matters. So from that standpoint, the attendance is 96,540. If they would have announced 96,540, nobody bats an eye at that.
Yep.
That's fine. 96,000? Sure.
Yep.
Absolutely. 330 kick, Tulsa? Yeah, that's fine. 96,000. It's not great, but it's fine. You know? But 76 is an attention getter. But they sold 96. So that's... It's a good job out of them for doing the announced, and then you get the clarification on it. And honestly, I feel a little better about that. Not that I'm telling you guys how to spend your money or not, but the 76 was pretty alarming.
They are doing something that I've never received from Ohio State. I got an email yesterday saying, hey, former football alumni, claim your two complimentary tickets to the Akron game.
Wow.
Never received that since I left here for any game. No, I've gotten, for a few years there, I got free tickets. And by free is because I was trying to come back for one game during a bye week, right? So it was like two tickets. But like, even when we had the Hall of Fame celebration, you got four complimentary tickets, and for the rest of the family, you're paying. And that game was against Rutgers, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I only need like 8 or 10 tickets.
We're going to need a check, Threes.
But they did get a check. It wasn't even a check. It was a credit card authorization form, which is fine. But I'm saying, like, the point isn't the fact that I had to pay for tickets. That's absolutely fine. Like, I get it. It's a business. The point is that we're at a place now with this game to where they're sending out football alumni complimentary tickets.
Yeah.
Trying to put people in. Our babysitter's a student and said that they actually stopped checking tickets at all for students. And just started letting students in. Like, they didn't even report in scanning. They just said, come on in, last week. She said, I never had anything scanned. Like, they're like, you're a student, here's your buck ID, go in. What? Yeah. You want to see? No, go.
Don't worry, you're fine. There's plenty of room up there. And that'll be the case this week, too. So that'll be the challenge for Ryan Day is how to... I think the night will help him. I think night game helps him. I think the lights come on and you almost... That's a whole set of juice... That you otherwise don't have. So if this were noon, I think it would be brutal. I know that he prefers noon games. I prefer noon games in terms of watching them. I don't like waiting all the way to 7:30 to watch a game, especially if it's one like this, although I'll look forward to your call. But at the same time, the lights will help a little bit with that. You'll hear from Coach Day here in about 15 minutes. It's the first Friday. I'm in a great mood because fall is here. Fall, I mean, it's here. You look at the extended, we're in fall now. Cool nights.
Baby. That well, there's season. One stat I'll say for three things that might not put you in a great mood. But the weather, I think the weather and the cool down makes you happy. But I'll save that teaser for three things.
Oh gosh. Okay. All right. So we got that. Elvis Merz Lincoln's got paid. John Davidson.
Yeah, he did.
With some interesting comments. We will get to that as well. Have a little fun. Oh, it's a Hey Guys First Friday. Ooh. So get your Hey Guys questions into Chops. Hashtag Hey Guys at BLS971 or at 971BLS, whichever one it is. Which one is it, Chops? Is it BLS971 or 971BLS?
971BLS.
All right, there you go. Good job out of you. So get those into Chopper. We'll do those at 11. We're off and running on a First Friday miracle. Bishop and Laurinaitis right here in the Fan.
We are everywhere. On your radio. Online. The Fan app. Alexa. And behind you in your car. Right now.
Too creepy?
Sorry. The Fan. Ohio sports destination. Meet or on the rocks. Just act accordingly.
Starts with a glass of bourbon, then goes to, oh, First Blood's on. I think I'll watch this again.
You're listening to Bishop and Laurinaitis.
My friends, the mortgage rates, they're plummeting. They're the lows of the year right now. In fact, your home value is at the high of the year. You can take advantage of this unique situation with my friends at Neighborhood Lender. You can refinance now with Neighborhood Lender, pay zero closing costs, even skip the next one or two house payments altogether. They do it at Neighborhood Lender. They make refinancing easy. It's an all-digital, super-fast platform. There's no paperwork, no junk fees, no big bank hassle. You can refinance right now. You can save the rate of your lifetime. You can lower your house payment. There are no closing costs. Or you can refinance, get cash out of your home's equity. People are getting $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 out of their home for themselves. Pay off debt. Reinvest it in your property. You need to act now, though. Get a better loan, get cash out, lower your payment, pay zero closing costs, skip your next house payment altogether. Call my friends at Neighborhood Lender, 614-882-LOAN, 614-882-LOAN, neighborhoodlender.com, equal housing lender, NMLS 69349. Not all loans apply for no closing cost option and subject to lender approval. Elvis Merz Lincoln's was paid. 5 years, $27 million, on the deal for Elvis. I guess we know who the goalie is.
Mm-hmm.
That's the end of that.
Yep. I guess we know who they believe in.
Look, 2 years ago, I remember we'd have Porty on. Guy's a rock star.
Yeah.
Remember we'd get all that, you know?
Yep.
So last year was kind of off, but 2 years ago, that's what he was.
Yep.
And that's what he needs to be.
Yep.
Right? Is the future of the position, you know, for the franchise. And certainly he has that talent. Obviously, some of the stuff that happened in the playoffs, I think Corpy's run hard to believe that was 2 years ago now. Or no, it was a year ago, but it was two hockey seasons ago. The bubble playoffs where Corpy was just unbelievable kind of changed some of that stuff. But that's where you're at. John Davidson is back.
Yep.
So he was available yesterday, and he is, again, the face of the franchise. So I want to play a couple of bites from JD. Let's start with this one where he talks about what he's been focusing on since he got back.
You know, Josh Flynn helps with the contracts. We've been going through those situations. We've been analyzing the Cleveland club. We've, of course, a lot of the time, frankly, has been spent with our group trying to get the whole protocol and people into the country from around the world with a world of travel that's different right now, all those situations. Hockey-wise, we've had some great discussions. You know, I got here that we went through the draft. We're real happy with what happened at the draft. So it's been a little bit of everything. It hasn't been a typical summer where you work till the middle of July and take 6 weeks off. It just hasn't happened, which is good because we had enough time off trying to be careful with the whole COVID situation. But we've had our fingers into everything. We're doing a major renovation on our locker room, things along those lines where a lot of people put their a lot of good, solid, hard work into this thing. So there's just a lot of things happening, a lot of good things, and now it's time to get back to work.
Do you think JD would have been back? I mean, he's really the perfect face, right? Because ownership isn't crazy about being out front, so he's the perfect face. But this is a role that John Tortorella had.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he served as head coach and face of the franchise.
Yeah.
And now JD comes back, and now JD is in that role. I don't think anyone had any ill will from him leaving when he left. He went home. I mean, he's a Rangers legend.
Yeah.
It didn't
work.
They
did him wrong.
Yeah. Yeah, they did. They did do him wrong. And so he comes back. And this is what he was hired for initially, was to build it once right from the studs.
Yeah.
And that's where they're at now.
Yep.
It's going to require patience of you and the fan base, a lot of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of the reality of where you are. But I think that this fan base, you know, 20 some odd years in, I think it's smart enough to know that this is required And that's something I don't know that you could have done 10 years ago. But I think you can do it now, and we'll see.
Yep. Yeah, I think it gives you a direction. I'm interested to see how this plays out with Corpy. Because, look, they're competitors, right? And you kind of wish – I wonder if they sought a trade before they announced this extension for Corpusalo. Because you think that right now his stock just went down, right? Because the Blue Jackets showed their hand.
I think it's fair. It's a good point out of you.
You
and
know,
I think
who
it's
they believed in.
I think it's fair to say that that situation was not handled the best.
Because you have to think, we thought this literally going into last season, the biggest thing with the Jackets was you're going to trade one of the goaltenders and get something back for him, right? We got two dudes. We got a couple dudes. If you look at the prospects and all of that, I mean, there's belief that we have three or four. And obviously the tragedy that has happened, we still have prospects as well, in the waiting. So it's a position of strength top down, I think, in the organization. But once you announce this extension, every NHL team goes, well, they're not keeping Corpy, you know? So Right. Do we really, are we really desperate to offer a ton? I just think it dropped his trade value.
Good point.
And look, as a competitor, you're not very, I mean, he can be, here's the thing about sports that's so amazing. Corpy can be both excited for Elvis, yet the competitor in him upset that the organization is choosing to go this route and want to go elsewhere. Like, those can be mutually exclusive. It's why you see on the sidelines of a Browns game, who was it? Anthony Walker come on the field and help celebrate first, you know, for another linebacker making a play when he's like,
yeah.
That's part of the thing. Like, I've told the story, like celebrating Alec Ogletree's success, although you know it's probably going to affect your job status, right? In the future, it's just a part of sports that's unique. So it's been interesting. It's been very interesting. But I think that it'll be as training camp, you know, gets going and as preseason starts up and all those things, it'll be definitely noteworthy to see what's going to happen with Jonas.
Yeah, for sure. And you could say that obviously you didn't trade when the value was. And that probably had to do with you were trying to do two things. You're trying to build for the future, but you also thought you had a contender. And and that's something that I think we can, you know, you don't have a contender now. You don't.
Yep.
You have a team that's going to be tried to be built once the right way. And it's going to be, JD says, you know, we love the draft. You better. Those guys got to be dudes. And that's the thing that, if this is going to work, that's really the only way.
There is
to
a
do
sense
it,
of optimism,
is the way that they
you
did.
Know, and I think that's what they're supposed to do, right? Because no front office is going to come out there and start pushing pessimism and saying, you know, hey, no, this is going to be a while. Fans don't even show up for 2 years, right? No, like so you have to try to measure how much is legitimate optimism about the direction this year and going forward, and how much is rhetoric to try to make sure people show up to Nationwide.
I got this from Tony on social. He wants you to know, keep an eye on Billy Beaver. He saw on the news a 73-year-old was attacked by a rabid beaver.
By a rabid beaver? Well, now what you're going to make me do is, see, I would say I'd take the rots with me, but the rots are too lazy now. I mean, my male rot, October 5th, turns 12. My female, I mean.
Jeez, what a run.
I'm lucky that my female ever gets down a pair of stairs. I mean, if she's on wood, I got to come down there and do a nice Romanian deadlift to try to lift her back legs up. That's how bad her hips are. So I'm at a point now where, you know, the only chance I have is the Maltese Yorkie combos, you know, sprinting and barking really loud to try to scare Bill the Beaver. But if they ever square it off, my Morkies are done. No joke, we were out at the barn.
Yeah.
We were at the barn last week walking around the backyard. Backyard. There is no backyard. It's 20. Anyway, walking around part of the place, and I see like two turkey vultures starting to circle really close, and I'm like, you know what? Let's get the little dogs inside. How about we get them in the barn? Because I don't think this is going to go well for them. They're the size of a damn rabbit, so I don't think they're going to last very long.
Right. They won't go well. The hawk, for sure. The hawk, for sure, will come for those guys. There's no question. All right, you're going to hear from Coach Day up next. He addressed the quarterback issue. We talked yesterday about CJ and the shoulder. We'll hear from Coach Day on playing the backup quarterbacks and what that could look like this weekend against Akron. That's coming up next. Bishop and Laurinaitis right here on The Fan.
We know you're listening to The Fan on Saturday, and now you have no reason not to listen on Sunday. Your Central Ohio home for the Browns, The Fan. It's Bishop and Laurinaitis' What's Up.
What's up, man?
What's up with you?
Sponsored by your Central Ohio Honda dealers.
All right, here's what's up on a First Friday Miracle edition of the program. Ryan Day in his press conference yesterday addressing the quarterbacks. Here's thoughts on the backups and perhaps getting some time against Akron.
No, I don't feel pressure. I think that, you know, we'll look to see if we can possibly get that done this week, though, if it works out. You know, again, a lot of it has to do with the week of preparation. You know, it really is week to week. And so, you know, we start that preparation on Sunday after we get off the field. We wipe the previous week clean, then we go from there. So it's all about how these guys prepare and how they practice. But, you know, if the opportunity presents itself, then we'd like to do that this week.
Here is he was also asked about CJ and getting reps and trying to find a rhythm. Here's Coach Day on that.
Yeah, and if it works out, we'll do it, like I said. But, you know, CJ gets in there. You know, we also want to get him to find a rhythm as well and kind of get that the execution of the offense. I mean, that's the number one goal is to make sure that we're executing at a high level and finding that rhythm. You know, I don't think we found that quite yet. And, you know, we're going to get that done here this week and some things that we're trying to address in practice, how we're teaching, you know, looking at all those things. But at the end of the day, that's what we're trying to find. And again, if something presents itself or we can get other guys in the game, we certainly want to do that.
A couple things on this, because I know this is something the fan base certainly talks about a lot. Number one, very, very clear that Coach Dave feels strongly that the best chance for this team to win football games is with C.J. Stroud.
Mm-hmm.
And has felt that way for quite a while.
That's why he's starting.
Right? I mean, you know, that's why he's starting, man. Like, yeah. There's nothing else to read into it other than that. Like, they went through spring. They went through fall. They believe in him. They made the decision with him. He's been the number one guy for a long time. There's probably some rep splitting that happened in spring and maybe very early in camp, but for the most part, he's been getting the number one reps for a very, very long time. If you go back to even Chris Olave coming back, I think it's very, very logical to draw a straight line between him coming back and the belief that C.J. Stroud would be able to keep the offensive output out the way that Chris Olave expected so that he could have a nice year. You know, because he was draft eligible a year ago. So I think all of those things are true. It can also be true that this is an incredibly delicate spot, man.
Yeah.
It's incredibly delicate. It's a loaded room. And there are egos. And there are you can't lie to the team stuff. And there are we got a kid who should be in high school who inked a $1.6 million endorsement deal.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on here.
Yeah. Running scout team.
That's right.
You know, so it is a because, look, he's supposed to be a high school senior, so that shouldn't shock anybody. I think people see the NIL stuff. And look, I hope we get to a point where we see him on Saturday. To be honest, I'm kind of fascinated to see if, like, the like when you start I'm adding so many players on my board. Usually, my boards are made for me from a guy, Tony Britt, who, you know, he'll put the guys that have been playing and starting, right, in the backups. And then, you know, in games like this, you go deeper. And so, you know, my board has three quarterbacks. You know, it has CJ, has Kyle, has Jack. And so I'm typing up on my iPad, you know, as we speak. Not only do I have Quinn Ewers, obviously, that you're going to throw in there. That's the obvious one. But what about Jaeger LaRoe? You know, what about other guys on this roster that wouldn't be, like JP, you know? So there are players that you're throwing on here. I even got our guy, you know, Zach Herbstreit on the board. You know, you never know who's going to show up.
Yeah.
But the idea is
don't
you go through the roster.
The history on him.
Huh? Yeah.
Probably know his family history.
So you go... So you go through the, you know, your board and you figure it out. I'm just fascinated, like, if the game gets to a point where it is fourth quarter and it is so big, do you see Quinn? Well, like, how's Ryan? These are little things that I will follow. Like, the fan base won't think about it. Do you see Quinn?
I'm curious about that, too.
Do you reward Jaeger LaRoe, the walk-ons that have been there for multiple years that haven't seen a game rep? Do you throw them in knowing that Quinn will be here another 3 years, you know, so or 2 years at least?
Maybe.
It's just fascinating. Everything's fascinating. And here's why you said it's delicate, Bo. I'm sure deep down, Ryan Day, there's conflicting feelings in his gut. He wants to. He obviously recognizes that this would be a week if he needs to rest C.J. Stroud to rest him. He sees that.
Mm-hmm.
What's the problem with that? He also probably knows C.J. Stroud is not chest out, flying high, bulletproof with his confidence right now. He understands, and he has even acknowledged that people expect more from him. And he says, "I believe I'm still a good player. I have a lot of football to learn." So he's acknowledging that he even hears the noise around Columbus, right? Mm-hmm. All these kids do. They're not off social media, and they won't get off social media. It's part of their life. It's we're not going to be able to do that, so they need to learn how to handle it. The other thing is, if Kyle goes out and plays well, while the team might know CJ is their starter, right? They also know Kyle is a competitor and a dude as well, and he doesn't want it to become where the fan base, not the locker room. I think the locker room will ride with either one, right? I honestly think that like the locker room just respects hard work. But they know CJ has named the starter. He's their dude. But out here, and I'm not even saying it's you and I. I'm saying it's a lot of the beat writers. It's the people who would watch the game on ESPN that don't know the intricacies of the quarterback competition. All of a sudden, Kyle McCord throws for 375 and three touchdowns. And next thing you know, you have Desmond Howard saying, "I think they need to go with that guy." And, you know, and now all of a sudden you have a thing that these players are asking, "Who do you think should start?" And really when Ryan just wants to say, "It's not a competition. CJ's our guy if he's healthy. We want." So I think these are all the things that he is weighing, you know? Because the last thing he wants is now guys in the locker room having a debate about who should be playing at QB. Like, he's made his choice. His choice is CJ Stroud. He is very young. He's inexperienced. And he also needs to get reps. I think there's also part of him that wants to play him because he wants to see CJ get in rhythm, throw for 300, four touchdowns and a half, and say, "Hey, good day's work. Now sit down." Right? So there's all these things that he's weighing.
I'll give you the script. This is
throughout a week of practice.
Absolutely. I think you factor all of it in. This is the perfect script for Ryan Day based on just what I've heard him say and kind of what you're hearing and what you know. CJ Stroud starts. He plays two series. He goes 6-7 for 117 yards and two scores, and he's done. Yeah. Kyle McCord comes in and plays until halfway through the third quarter. Jack Miller finishes the game.
Yep.
That's the perfect script for Ryan Day.
Yep.
That's the script. That's what he hopes he can follow.
No question.
Now, is he going to be able to, and is that the smart thing to do with CJ's shoulder? That's something that's going to play out over the course of this week, and we'll find out over the weekend if that's the way that it looks. We're going to switch gears, do a little Browns. Our good buddy Jake Trotter able to make a little time for us. He will join us coming up next on that front. Bishop and Laurinaitis right here on The Fan.
Winners of the prestigious Platinum Microphone Award every year, given to the best radio station in the world. No need to look it up. It's real. The Fan. Their favorite sport is berating their producer.
You just sat there for 10 minutes.
This is Bishop and Laurinaitis.
Hi, Bishop and Laurinaitis right here on The Fan. Let's head out on the Bryan Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline for a visit with our great friend Jake Trotter, Cubs of Browns for ESPN. Jake, two games in. Let's go over a couple of things. Again, you're holding the Browns to a high standard because you feel like it's a contender. So let's go at some of the warts, and let's start with the turnovers. Just bad luck, or two games in, do we have a trend here?
Yeah, I think it's bad luck. You know, particularly the interceptions. I mean, in the opener, Baker Mayfield gets clipped from behind as he's trying to throw the ball away and, you know, it gets picked off, and they were kind of in desperation mode at that point anyway. You know, week two, you're playing a rookie, Anthony Schwartz, because you don't have Jarvis Landry. You've got a lot of inexperience at receiver, and, you know, he just doesn't finish the route, and so that pass gets picked off as well. I mean, Nick Chubb doesn't fumble very often. He fumbled in the opener. What I feel like I'm – you know, the Jamie Gillen, the punter dropping the ball, you would hope that, you know, is a one-off. So I think right now, I'm not going to call it a trend. Maybe a little bit of a red flag if it continues, because you're not going to win in the NFL if you're losing the turnover margin week after week. But after two games, it's too small of a sample size. And I think the turnovers themselves are easily explained away as well.
Yeah, Jake, I feel like there needs to be like another category. Look, I'm sure quarterbacks have said this for decades, but there needs to be another category of like when the ball is tipped or deflected, like interceptions over there, when a receiver stops running a route. There are certain things that six can't really control. I'm wondering, Jake, and I told people this. I said, look, I had an expectation when they played the Texans that a really good championship team with culture will go out there and cover. Now, Jarvis gets hurt, right, really early in the game. And it kind of dawned on me, Stefanski has not had a game plan yet, with the surprise of OBJ not being active week one, Jarvis getting hurt early in week two. It seems like he's had to adjust his game plan on the fly and kind of try to get stuff done on a whim, you know, and he's one of the most prepared people. I'm impressed by that. What's your take on Stefanski's ability to adjust with, I mean, you're talking about their two best wide receivers in back-to-back weeks that he assumed would have big roles, you know, early on, not having any role at all within the game plan, yet still being able to be productive.
Yeah, I mean, Kevin has been unwavering since he's taken over the job. I mean, you go back to the virtual offseason last year where they're trying to install their schemes on the fly, and they had all kinds of COVID-19 adversity last year, you know, losing key players. Kevin being out himself in the playoff game. So I think adjusting the game plan on the fly is something that he's certainly capable of doing and shown that he's capable of doing in the past. So, yeah, I mean, you like to have all your guys out there, but everybody knows you're not. That's not going to be the case. I mean, this is the NFL. You're going to have injuries. You're going to have guys that are going to be in and out of the lineup. And so, you know, the consistency is him and his play calling. And I don't think that that's going to be a problem for them, you know, no matter what kind of personnel adversity they face this year. You know, whether it's, you know, losing a couple of receivers for a game or, you know, maybe you're down a tight end. I mean, I think that they have shown that they can overcome any of that.
Jake, let's go to the defensive side, where obviously the entire offseason was about the defense and making it better. And it will be better. And you saw Grant Delpit, who was just a missile in the game on Sunday, and kind of what he can bring to the table. But through two games, and especially last week, are they getting the push that you think they should get up front? Getting home has been something that hasn't happened at the rate I think a lot of people thought when you add Jadeveon Clowney, Tack McKinley, a former first-round pick, although the production wasn't necessarily there, and even Malik McDowell, who was a star at camp. You thought you'd get a consistent push. And then conversely, and adding to it maybe, some miscommunication stuff on the back end maybe not being where it was. What do you make of what Joe Woods' defense has done early?
Yeah, I'm not worried about the pass rush. I mean, they do only have three sacks. That ranks 20th in the league right now. But if you dive deeper into the numbers, they're fifth in the league in pass rush win rate, which essentially is, you know, how quickly are you getting off your blocks in the passing game relative to other defenses in the NFL. So they're one of the best so far. So I think that, you know, the production in terms of sacks and pressures, I think that's a combination of, you know, small sample size, right? Only seen two games. And then, you know, they face some pretty elusive quarterbacks. I mean, you're not going to face Patrick Mahomes and the things that he can do every week. And, you know, Tyrod Taylor, you know, one of the best things he's able to do is get outside the pocket, make plays happen. So I think if they keep up that pass rush win rate, you know, a top five pass rush win rate, that they're going to have plenty of sacks. And that's going to, you know, create turnovers. That's going to, you know, force the offense to mistakes. It's going to help everybody, you know, from the linebackers in the secondary as well. And the secondary being healthy again, I think is going to help too. You know, their ability now to play those big dime and big nickel packages with three safeties and Ronnie Harrison and Grant Delpit and John Johnson the third. And here's the other thing too with the defense. I mean, it was always going to take some time for this unit to coalesce. And they have eight new starters defensively. Some of their key backups are new as well. You know, think back to the offense last year and how long it took them to really hit their stride. I could see something similarly happening with the defense this year. And so by no means is it time to panic about the way that unit has performed.
Jake, a lot of hype throughout training camp about Donovan Peoples-Jones. I believe I read correctly, only one target in each week. Is he a guy that they're going to need to really elevate his game as far as production with Jarvis and then obviously OBJ's questionable status up in the air going forward for the next few weeks?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think the guy to watch is Rashard Higgins.
Okay.
You know, we always forget about Higgins this time of the year. You know, he's, for whatever reason, it doesn't seem like he ever gets on the field in the month of September, and then there's an injury, and he steps in and produces. I mean, he's always had that chemistry and rapport with Baker Mayfield, and, you know, maybe not the greatest practice player in the world. I think that maybe hinders him a little bit in terms of where he is on the depth chart to begin every season. But once he gets an opportunity, he just seems to make the most of it. So now that, you know, Jarvis is out, you know, your possession receiver type, I could see Higgins stepping in and really helping out, you know, for the weeks that Jarvis is out.
Jake, get you out of here on this one. Grant Delpit, did he kind of give it up on Monday with Odell and the return?
Yeah, I mean, there's been multiple hints. you know, a lot of cryptic tweets, a lot of cryptic Instagram posts. I think this is trending in that direction. But one thing I have learned with Odell, until it's official, you just never can know for sure. So I think we could get some more clarity about whether Odell is playing here in the next couple of hours when Kevin Stefanski talks. Remember last week he ruled Odell out for the week. If he doesn't do that today, or if he announces he's playing, obviously, you know, it'll be much different. So I think there's a decent chance that Odell's debut could come Sunday versus Chicago.
It certainly does feel that way. Jake, appreciate your time, buddy. Thanks for giving us a little bit of it today.
Okay, thanks, guys. Take care.
All right, that's our great friend Jake Trotter, covers the Browns, the very best at it, at ESPN, and a great friend of the program. We'll do a little NFL higher or lower coming up next. Bishop and Laurinaitis right here on The Fan.
First Fridays are a thing. Drinking bad bourbon is not a thing. This is Bishop and Laurinaitis.
And join The Fan TV and the Ohio Education Association. We honor classroom heroes. In these times, teachers and educators need the support and recognition more than ever. You can nominate your classroom hero at 971thefan.com/heroes for that. All right, time for a little NFL higher or lower. Hit it, Chopper.
All right, we're rolling with the ESPN power rankings right now. The Chiefs, they fell to number 3 following their loss to the Ravens. Higher or lower?
So, I think that before...
By the way, I just have to say that my top 3 is the same as these top 3.
Yeah.
But I digress.
I would have the same as you. I would have the order a little different. What I would say is what you have to think about when you're doing a poll, and whether this is from you do a college football poll or any poll you do, do you have a poll mentality? So poll mentality is you stay where you're at or you go up as long as you win. The opposite of that would be a week-to-week mentality. So what did you do this week? How good are you this week? So the idea that Kansas City is 3, I'm fine with. I would have them a little higher based on the fact that they had 2 really fluky turnovers. And other than that, you know, it's Pat Mahomes is not throwing that interception again. Clyde Edwards-Helaire fumbled in a pretty innocuous way. Otherwise, they're 2-0 and they're probably number 1 in this Power Bowl. So I'm fine where they are. I could have them be a little higher because I think they're the most dangerous team in football. So I would maybe go a little higher with them, maybe in the 2 hole.
I'm perfectly fine with this order. I think they were listening to the show. I think they listened to my advice when we did it yesterday, top 3, and I think that they copied.
The Ravens are now 9th, just 1 spot up, higher or lower.
So this is what bothers me, okay? You know where I'm going with this, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because you know exactly who 10 is. And if 10 beat 9 and is 2-0, I don't understand how you can put that team at 9 above 10.
Yeah.
What am I missing?
So it's also an incredible difference in narrative if Patrick Mahomes doesn't throw that fumble. You can't play this the if game, right? I get it. What happened on the field happened. But you think about those 2 interceptions. It does speak to Baltimore's stick-to-itness,
yeah,
that they stuck to it. And because he throws the 2 picks early and you're going, oh my gosh, here we go again. But they didn't. They stuck it out. They gutted it out. It meant a lot to them. If they would have lost that game, it could have sent them into a bit of a spiral. And they've got great culture there, obviously. But I do wonder, because they had so much riding on that game, it felt like they needed to win the game more than Kansas City. Very similar. I think anytime you play Kansas City, that's almost the case, right? Where, mm-hmm, if you're an AFC team and you fancy yourself a contender, you really need to beat them.
Yeah.
Doesn't necessarily... Before you can beat them in the playoffs, you just got to prove you can beat them.
Yep.
And so I think that's something that's important. I'm with you on what you say, but I also kind of think that I trust Baltimore more than Vegas. So
they have
it's a
culture.
Little bit tricky.
They have displayed culture, that's
yeah,
for sure.
And there's a little bit of history here, and it's, you know, like for example, I trust Green Bay more than I trust the Raiders, and they're a spot below them. So I think that's a little tricky. I think Baltimore is probably right around where they should be in this. Somewhere between, and it's pretty jumbled, honestly, from the first three are the first three, and then from 4 to 11, 4 to 10, you can kind of mix it up however you want.
Let's just jump to that 10 spot. The Raiders are up 9 spots to number 10 from 19th last week. Higher or lower?
Well, I think there's probably some belief. Rouse, this is you. My bad.
No, it's okay. Go ahead.
I was just saying there's probably some belief that, you know, after week one, felt a little fluky. You know, unbelievable comeback, and then all of a sudden you have that display. Look, they won at Pittsburgh. Yeah. You know, they went on the road and beat the Steelers in their own house early in the season. Like, this isn't like late, Ben's arm is sore, now I guess it's a peck. You know, this isn't that. This is, you established yourself against the Steelers, who came back in very Steeler-like fashion against the Bills. So, yeah, I think there's kind of like a surprise, like, oh, gosh, maybe we're underestimating this. Now, it wouldn't surprise anybody in league circles if the Raiders like lost a couple in a row that they weren't supposed to, right? So there is still this trepidation to really fully invest in them. But I'm totally okay with them jumping up.
I'll be honest, I think they should probably rank higher based on what they've done. They've accomplished more in the first 2 weeks than Arizona has.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, compare who they've beaten to who. Arizona, they should be 1-1. Right? I mean, they beat the Ravens and the Steelers. I had them 0-2, and they're 2-0.
So they beat the Ravens and the Steelers. Is their resume more impressive than the Browns losing a close one to the Chiefs and beating a Houston team without Tyrod Taylor
and
Nico Collins? Like, people forget Nico Collins went out early in that game. He had a reception, boom, hurt IR. So, I mean, I'm with you there. I'm fine with their app. I think Cleveland's a better football team than Vegas, but their resume, you know, is impressive.
The Dolphins are number 20, down from 15th, higher or lower?
This is hard because I have the same exact thing. They're a spot behind New England, who they beat the week before. But with Tua and the way they let me, they looked, once Tua went down, they looked just bad. So I'm fine with it. That's one organization, Bo, that I cannot get a feel for. I really can't.
Some games
they look so bad.
Yeah. I mean, it seems like ownership is really invested. They've fixed the stadium, some of the stadium concerns. They've done what they could there. To me, it should be an absolute destination, but they've had so many starts and stops over the years with different administrations that it feels like they can't ever get anything going down there. They've had some. I mean, this is also the curse of Adam Gase, right? Every place he leaves in ruins. It's a remarkable thing that he got a second shot after what he did down in Miami. They're not better than Philly. I don't think they're better than Philly, so no. I would have them lower. I don't know that they're... I mean, are they better than the Bears? I mean, they should probably be a little lower than where they are.
The Texans moved up after a loss to number 27, higher or lower?
So you look at all the teams below them.
Yeah,
right?
Go. Yeah, look at who's below. Who are you going to put them behind?
Yeah, none. So I'm not sure it's as much as their competence, because, look, I think that you could see them start to slip down because Tyrod's out. But, like you said, they have vets. They have surprised me. They've been probably one of the bigger surprises to me of this young season is their ability with the kind of mashed up roster that they have to be to get the win week one, and then also to get a really they were fighting. They were right in it until Tyrod goes out and you lose Nico Collins, and obviously they don't have any depth to lose people offensively.
They're kind of a team. I heard somebody say this. I wish I could remember so I could cite them, but rest assured I am absolutely plagiarizing this. I heard somebody say this about them, and it really struck me as accurate. They are a team that was built as if you were the Tom Brady New England Patriots and you were trying to fill the roster with hungry veterans.
Yeah.
And that's what they... And I thought, boy, that's it. If you think about Terrence Mitchell, Christian Kirksey, two former Browns that are pros, and good Money Mitchell's a good player at corner. So they get those two guys. Those guys are pros. You think about Mark Ingram, everybody would want Mark Ingram on their team because he's a pro. Brandon Cooks, everybody would want him on his team. Everybody would want Tyrod Taylor as their backup quarterback.
Yep.
Right? So they have this team of guys who are pros. And I think we missed that early in the season. Now, beyond that, and if those injuries occur, and what is the intestinal fortitude of those players over the course of a long season, eventually, and it, honestly, this could keep them from having the number one pick because they have too many guys who are pros.
Yeah.
So it could end up being their curse. But something that we missed early in the season with them is that they were going to come out prepared and ready. And they've done that. Because they would have that would have went right down to the wire if Tyrod Taylor doesn't get hurt. I'm convinced.
Yep.
So that's a that's a professional football team is what Houston is.
The team that beat Houston, the Browns, they fell from 6th to 8th, higher or lower.
Well, the tricky thing here is the Browns, and I agree with Jake's assessment, like the turnovers aren't a red flag because you can go over all of them and you say to yourself, all right, punter drops the ball. You know, that can't happen. And then not only does he drop it, but he doesn't punt it. He tries running with it. That can't happen. Nick Chubb with a fumble. Baker on the last play, kind of desperation mode, gets his leg pulled out from under him. You've got a rookie receiver who doesn't run the route the way that he's supposed to, leads to the second Baker pick. You're talking Donovan Peoples-Jones. He had 2 feet down, and it was a hat on the ball that created the fumble on that one. So it's fluky. But the turnovers, they're in the top five of the NFL in turnovers. I think the bigger thing is, on the back end, there's some confusion because they're not good on third down, and I thought they would be good on third down. So I think that's the point of confusion and a little bit of, huh, I wonder what's going on there. I'm fine with where they are. I think they are judged more harshly, though, than, for example, Buffalo, who, if you go look at what Josh Allen's done early this season, remember all the completion percentage stuff he did a year ago? They're not quite in sync offensively in Buffalo.
Yeah.
They're not. So I think Buffalo's graded much more leniently than Cleveland, and I think Cleveland's actually has been the more impressive team. I think they're better than Seattle, too, and they got Seattle 6th on this list.
I think there's one thing that is why those teams get a little bit more lenient grading. There's more belief in Russell Wilson than Baker Mayfield across people voting, and there's more trust in Josh Allen.
Fair.
And I think that's really simply it. I think that's it. And it's not even Baker's fault. I just think it's Josh Allen has been very likable. He had an explosive year last year, right? You've seen a lot of highlights out of him. MVP conversation, obviously, Russell. And Baker's polarizing. Like, I don't think we'll ever have a point in Baker's career. And I'm not, this is not fair. But will we ever have a point, like, even if Baker goes out there and keeps ripping it, just his personality in general is going to have some media members just not even put him in a certain category because he's polarizing.
Yeah.
And I think that's, like I said, it's unfair, but it's reality. I mean, you can't convince me that they're not better than the Cardinals. The Cardinals are exciting and flashy, but it's like saying Oklahoma's going to be a top four team. Like, well, no.
Yeah.
Oklahoma's not. They're not.
How many people do you think would guess Josh Allen's completion percentage for two games? Because they were impressive in week two, and so I think you see the score and you think, most people didn't watch that game.
Right.
Buffalo and Miami.
Yep.
They didn't watch it, so they seem, oh, he must have been great. He's completing 56% of his passes.
Right. Just kind of reverting back to the...
He's reverting back. So it's early. Like, I'm not... It's not a red flag, but Baker was 90% completions.
Yeah.
In the game against Houston.
Yeah.
Two more for you. The Carolina Panthers moved up 8 spots from 23 to 15.
Yeah.
Higher or lower?
I mean, you had this, so you can take the lead. You had the Panthers.
Well...
Possibly
think there's,
beating the Saints.
Yeah, I did. And I think there's a couple of things that you have to remember here. Number one, Matt Rhule is a bit of a culture tornado, right?
Yeah, he is.
Like, people follow him. They had a
and
plan.
And he can coach it.
He can coach it, and they have a plan. And the plan was, we're going to get our defense right. And so they spent the whole first draft. They didn't even draft an offensive player, right?
Yep.
They would have, I'm convinced of this, they would have had Deshaun Watson if Deshaun Watson didn't get in trouble. They would have him right now.
Yep.
So then they had to pivot. And they take Darnold. And you say, boy, what's left here? Well, people don't realize how young Darnold is. I think he's like 24.
Yep.
He's a young dude, right? So now you've got Darnold, who's playing at a good rate. They got a lot of weapons. They're really sound defensively. And who's calling the plays for Sam Darnold? Joe Brady. So it's a really nice mix. I don't think they're going anywhere.
I don't either. They got culture. They got belief. And I'm a fan of Sam Darnold because this is a total situation where the kid's career, his mental state, everything could have been gone because of a crappy situation in New York. And getting mono. Remember he got mono and had to, I mean, just crappy.
And last one for you, the Bengals fell a spot to 25th, higher or lower?
Right, same. I'm fine. I mean, honestly, I'm fine with it. They're right below Chicago, so good job out of them. I'm fine with it. I'm good. Their O-line, they got issues. We've talked about them. They got issues. But I'm okay with where they're at.
This line from our great friend of the program, Ben Baby, is an important one. Ja'Marr Chase averaging 18.8 air yards per target. That's why they drafted him.
Yep.
Because he's somebody you now have to game plan for.
Yep.
And you have to be aware of, because he can separate on anybody. And he has.
So what's hard, is that the issues we're talking about and the attention that Penei Sewell had on Monday Night Football,
yeah,
you're getting a lot of like, see, the Bengals should have drafted him. But the hard thing is like, so then
they have,
we don't know
tackle
what it would look like if you had him and then you don't have Chase on the outside. So it's
right,
like, it's a weird thing. Like, it's hindsight is, you don't know if in a couple of years you're going to look back and say, oh man, they were, thank goodness we drafted Chase and not Sewell. Like, it's just, I hear from so many Bengals fans of like, their biggest mistake is they didn't draft Sewell. That's why they're, I'm like, I'm not sure. Let's wait.
The problem with them is a collapsing pocket from the middle.
Yeah.
They're not right, getting wrecked as much on the outside. The tackle mm-hmm play's been okay. It's the middle
yep
where they're being devastated. That they
yep
didn't address guard and center is the problem.
Yeah.
That's where they're, that's where, and that's going to be a problem for them on Sunday. I mean, every game they play, that's going to be a problem.
Yeah.
For Cincinnati. And that's what you worry about with Burrow, is that pressure coming right at his face and bad habits starting to be developed. Lane Kiffin follows one player on Instagram. It's fantastic. We'll tell you the story coming up next. Bishop and Laurinaitis right here on The Fan.
Your home of the Buckeyes, Jackets, NFL, Major League Baseball, and pretty much everything you can shake a stick at.
What? It's a saying. The Fan.
If you say something with confidence, then you can't be wrong.
I don't even know.
This is Bishop and Laurinaitis.
Bishop and Laurinaitis right here on The Fan. And you guys definitely know, if you listen, how much I love being a dad to my three beautiful girls. What I don't love is the amount of laundry that we have to do. But my friends at Kinetico told me a crazy stat the other day about one of the benefits of my whole home water treatment system. And I found out that having Kinetico soft water requires me to use only a quarter of the amount of recommended detergent compared to laundry with hard water. One thing that we don't do pods anymore because of that, because all we got to do is pour the detergent a quarter of them out. I mean, that saves you a ton of money, hundreds of dollars a year, especially when you have a family like we do. I'm not sure Chops, when he washes his clothes, maybe once every month. But for us and our family, we do so much laundry, it saves us a ton of money. So go to KineticoColumbus.com today to set up your free in-home water analysis. I actually have them coming out today to the right at noon to the barn. You know, we got that well water. It smells like straight rotten eggs. And so I'm like,
yep,
you know what? You can bring your test kit, you know, and see what it looks like. I can tell you there's a whole lot of strong, probably iron and all that stuff in here. But
sure,
I just want to be able to drink some water out the tap. You know, can I get one of those filters? We'll see what they can do.
Oh, they can do it. Yeah, they'll
well, I know they can do it.
Yeah.
You know,
I have the. They're here about every other month. Is where.
Well,
we
when you have that, you so know a massive pool,
that's right,
irrigation
that's right
system.
Well, guest house,
lazy river, lazy river that's around right the house. You know,
lazy
a moat,
river.
All those things.
In a boat in Ohio, like we had a lazy boot.
My guy Steven Jackson around legit has a moat in Vegas. Like,
really?
Oh gosh, yeah.
Well,
like,
Vegas,
like,
yeah,
yeah. Well, it's ironic in Vegas. Like, why do you need a moat in Vegas? Like, you have a gate, and then the
right
gate to your place. You have a moat, and so then you need to build like a culvert because the water's like what? It's Vegas, and then you gotta have a huge water bill because I'm sure there's a ton of evaporation when it gets super hot.
Oh my gosh, yeah. He's gonna be hauling a lot of water at that front. Lane Kiffin can coach some football, and Lane Kiffin can recruit some football. He's done a lot of stuff off the field, has been abrasive, and that's led to him. Let's remember that this guy was charming enough to be hired by the Raiders and charmed Al Davis.
Yep.
Then Tennessee, mm-hmm, then USC. So that's competence, that's charming,
yeah,
that's an ability to recruit, that's all those things. And perhaps he finally found his perfect home because charming is one way that you would describe certainly the Ole Miss program, and
yep,
and kind of one of those programs you say, boy, if they ever, it seems like, let's remember this, folks, and Ole Miss is probably, you know, from your Big Ten comparison for Ole Miss is like Indiana, probably somebody like that. Ole Miss had the number one recruiting class in the country during Hugh Freeze's time.
Yep.
So now they cheated, but now it doesn't matter. Everybody can cheat. Doesn't matter. There is no cheating, right? So
yep.
they will thrive in this, and Kiffin is the perfect guy to get them to thrive. So to that end, he's had a great week on social. So he has he's doing the rat poison stuff. He's building up Bama because they play Bama coming up in the next couple of weeks, and so he's building that up. And he did a rat poison tweet, and it also became clear that Lane Kiffin follows just one individual on Instagram, just one, Arch Manning. So Arch Manning is he's the number one quarterback prospect in 2023, and is probably, I mean, he's a sure, all those guys are sure things, right? He's a sure thing as it gets. I don't know that he has the physical tools of like Quinn or that Trevor Lawrence, but I don't think that that will stop him. The other thing about Arch Manning, which is, I think, significant, is I think it's very likely that he plays all 4 years. Both of his uncles did.
Yeah.
And from an NIL standpoint, there's nobody in college football that's in college football or about to be in college football that's going to be more marketable than this kid if he chooses to
be.
They
I love the people who say
a name, image, and likeness.
Arch Manning doesn't need NIL. I'm like, you know, that's like saying that Tom Brady doesn't want to make more money.
Of course.
You know, like, meet one NFL player. Like, it's just not, it doesn't exist.
They're
all trying to aim for a, that's why Aaron Rodgers looks at his contract and goes, hold on a second. He's making, no. If he's making that, I get this. Like, even though the family has money, Arch, what, anyway, it's a lazy
Do you think that Arch Manning, like, he's the most important recruit in the history of Ole Miss, at least since his uncle, since Peyton said no and Eli said yes. Now, Peyton said no because
watching
they were
that SEC story, I didn't realize how big of a deal Ole Miss people gave Arch Senior about Peyton.
Well, the other
calling
thing
him a traitor.
Peyton,
how could you get your son to come here?
Well, they were on probation though. And that's something in the book of Manning that they talk about, but I don't know that people realize is Ole Miss was headed for probation.
They've been on
probation, that's a big reason.
Many times.
Right. That's a big reason why Peyton didn't go there. So Arch is doing a tour of the South. He's going to Texas. So he's checking them all out. But like if Lane Kiffin gets Arch Manning at Ole Miss, that could lead to a recruiting windfall over the next 3 years that could put them on par with, I don't know, maybe not Georgia, but from an overall talent standpoint, they certainly could be Texas A&M, LSU, in a hurry.
Yeah. Speaking of Texas A&M, our guy Greg McElroy said yesterday that Penn State would be in the middle of the SEC and that they're nowhere near A&M.
Why? What makes you say that, though?
I have no idea. The fact
that he's on
the SEC
A&M struggle and should have lost to Colorado?
Yeah. You know what? The Minnesota would be. I think Minnesota's better than Texas A&M, actually.
Minnesota's on par with Alabama, I think.
Yeah.
So is Michigan State. Michigan State.
I mean, PJ's rowing his tail off over there, his gopher tail.
He's rowing. There's rivers in the South.
Anyway, I just saw that, and it made me. I had to make a note of it because I was like, this makes me want to throw up in my mouth.
Yeah, it's laughable, man. Laughable. All right, Brandon Marcello will join us next, National College Football Reporter for 24/7 Sports. Bishop Laurinaitis right here on The Fan.
An encyclopedic knowledge of sports and other random things you may or may not care about.
I think I found my mentor.
Lockman and Ice.
Weekdays from noon to 3.
The Fan. The finest distillation of sports talk in all of Ohio. This is Bishop and Laurinaitis.
All right, time to head out on the Bryan Heating Cooling Systems fan guest hotline for a visit with our good buddy Brandon Marcello, covers college football for 24/7 Sports. Brandon, you know, we started the show on Monday with this, and I wanted you, because obviously a little bit of a sluggish start for the Buckeyes out of the gate, including the loss to Oregon in week two. And I said, you know what? It's very possible that Ohio State is not great this year, but it's also very possible that there isn't a great team. And I kind of came to that conclusion after watching a lot of the games on Saturday and what we've seen through 3 weeks. I don't see that type of dominance that we've seen in years past. And Bama is certainly the cream of the crop, but even they aren't quite what they're used to being in terms, but that still might be good enough for them. What do you make of that?
Yeah, I agree there. I mean, after week one, I wrote about I think the headline was, where are the elite teams? And outside of Alabama at the time, I didn't see anybody else. And then this past weekend, we saw that Alabama's not invincible, even though I think Florida had a tremendous game plan and made amazing adjustments against them in the second half particularly. But I think what we're seeing this year is two things. One, the super seniors have kind of leveled the playing field a little bit with the experience factor across college football, with all these players who are able to come back with an extra year of eligibility due to COVID-19. And then secondly, the new crop of quarterbacks that have taken over at most of these elite schools, you know, Alabama, Clemson, and of course Ohio State, they're not as elite or great as the players that they took over for. And so you combine those two things, and it's kind of got us to this point where I think this is a year of transition in college football, where you're not necessarily going to see teams beating up on each other as often as we've seen in the past with these top five or six programs in the country. Now, that might change here near the end of the season as they start to kind of gel together, but I think that's the two biggest factors that have gone into this.
Brandon, as I look at the top 10, who do you think, I guess, who do you think is the biggest fake in the top 10? If you had to pick one of the teams to kind of throw out of there, or maybe early on, like for instance, for me, I think Oklahoma is a very interesting one. Spencer Rattler has gotten a ton of preseason hype. I'm just not sure their team is all there. A&M is another one that pops to my mind. Obviously, we mentioned Clemson, but who up there near the top end, if you want to go top eight with the undefeateds, do you feel like you're just kind of waiting for the season to play out to kind of let them drop?
Yeah, I think Cincinnati is the biggest fake. I saw enough against Indiana early, but also, I mean, I haven't been high on them all off season. I think I had them as low as like 22 in one of my polls in the preseason, and Cincinnati fans were jumping all over me, and I just didn't see it with that team. Now, you know, they beat Indiana, and I think that's probably going to be their toughest test, really, probably most of the season other than Notre Dame, but Notre Dame is not all that sharp either. I think when you look through those teams that you just mentioned, I mean, everybody obviously has got weaknesses, but for those teams, it's like it's glaring weaknesses. As you mentioned with Oklahoma, like what's going on with Spencer Rattler? That I mean, there's really no big throws coming from him this season. Iowa, fantastic defense, but their offense has never been explosive, and it's certainly not explosive this season. And its explosive rate, when you look at Pro Football Focus, I mean, that's a team that might end up being top 10 at the end of the season, but is never going to be a threat to get in the playoff. Penn State, I still have questions about, because Sean Clifford, he's not great under pressure. And against Auburn this past weekend, Auburn got zero pass rush against him. Texas A&M, I don't know what their quarterback situation, if that's a really good situation at all, because Haynes King's injured. Zach Calzada's come in, and he's had some subpar performances so far. So, listen, it's such a mess in the top 10 right now, but it's difficult to find teams below them that are actually better when you're ranking these teams. That's why, like, this top 10, you know, no one lost in the top 10 this past week. You didn't see a lot of movement other than, you know, maybe OU dropping, but it's like, who are you going to put above them? I mean, there's just not a lot of options there.
No, it's honestly kind of fun, right? Because it goes back to the first point.
Yes.
Where we could have real parity here. We could have somebody come out of nowhere and win this thing. I think for me, Brandon, the biggest shock is how poorly Clemson has looked offensively.
Yeah.
I didn't have that. I mean, I thought DJ would come in year two, elevate. Year three be the number one pick in the draft. I see a kid who doesn't have confidence. I see a kid who's got a little bit of cement shoes with a long delivery. Maybe I just missed it. And to be fair, I don't follow Clemson every single week, but I did see him last year against Notre Dame. I saw him in some of the filling in for Lawrence last year. I assumed that he would just improve upon that. What's going on there?
Yeah, you know, I think he, you know, when he's kind of got like a knuckleball when he throws. It's just like, and it just comes out at like 100 miles an hour, and he doesn't have much touch with the ball in some of these longer passes, and that's very concerning to me. It's almost like he's got one speed in throwing the football, and that's never a good thing when you've got to be able to mix it up. And then also, you know, I think we're underestimating the loss of Travis Etienne at running back. He kind of mixed things up for them, not only in the run game, but obviously in the pass game as well, what he was able to do out of the backfield. And so I think that they're still trying to figure out what they are and who they are. And what's really concerning to me, just from a coaching perspective, is every week I'm hearing Tony Elliott saying, we've got to work on fundamentals and this with fundamentals and that. And it's like, shouldn't that have been something that you were talking about a lot in the off season?
Yeah.
And why are we talking about that when it's very clear that you got to kind of adjust and mold this offense around the strengths that you do have at this point? Because right now, this isn't an offense where you can call the same sort of plays you've been used to over the last 2 or 3 years, especially when Trevor Lawrence was the starting quarterback.
Brandon, I want your take real quick. What's your gut instinct on who takes the job out in Southern California?
Listen, I think the one that makes sense that, you know, everybody keeps talking about is Luke Fickell. And I think at this point, you know, Cincinnati, I think it's very obvious that, you know, going into the next year or two, you know, there's going to be a bit of a rebuild there. And I think he would fit USC kind of perfectly at this point. You know, we'll see how that works out. But I think with the USC job, you're going to hear a lot of murmurs between now and December, but not a lot of it's going to matter. But this thing's really not going to heat up until probably December, when the season's near its end or has ended for some teams. And, you know, I know a lot of people mentioned James Franklin. I think that kind of depends on, you know, how he feels about the program and how they're taking care of him and his assistants at that point in the year. Listen, USC is going to be able to get a bigger name if they want to. But listen, you rarely see Power Five coaches going to Power Five jobs. I mean, it's always been like that, even though people have these huge wish lists. But those are the two guys that make the most sense, and the ones that I'm sure that they'll be shaking the trees for a little bit.
Brandon, appreciate your time as always, man. Thanks for giving us a little bit of it today.
All right, thanks, guys.
All right, that's Brandon Marcello, covers National College Football for 24/7 Sports. The crazy thing about that USC job is, as he mentioned, December 3, you got to have somebody there December 1, because signing day is third week in December. It's not February.
I just want Chops to cut up that take on Cincy and send it to Luke.
Send it to Luke.
He can use that.
He'll play it in his building.
Yeah.
Play it in the building.
As if he needed anything else to help rip those guys, because I promise you nobody's ripping his team harder than he is after the way they started.
That's a fact. That's a fact. We hit Thing or Not a Thing up next. Bishop and Laurinaitis right here on The Fan.
If you consider yourself a Buckeye fan, you've come to the right place.
This is your heritage sports talker and home of Ohio State Athletics. The Fan. Ohio's sports destination.
The best in the Midwest. You're listening to Bishop and Laurinaitis.
All right, time for a little Thing or Not a Thing. Chopper's here. Go, Chops.
Bishop and Laurinaitis. Thing or not a thing.
Sponsored by Geico Insurance.
All right, here we go on a first Friday. Through 2 weeks, the Chiefs are the worst in the league in most rush yards allowed, 404. Most rush touchdowns allowed, 7. The next is 8 teams tied at 3. And yards per rush allowed at 6.0. Thing or not a thing?
Well, I was going to say pretty big. It's a thing. Let's remember Honey Badger just played against Baltimore.
Yeah.
And Baltimore's the best rushing team in football. So, and then they played Nick Chubb.
Yeah.
And Kareem Hunt.
So they played, the two teams they played.
Right.
they played arguably the two best running teams in football.
Right. They played the two best running teams, both with their physical talent and scheme in all of football. They did one of them without Tyrann Mathieu. So, it's a minor thing, but not as big as you might think.
Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely something that they're aware of, but ultimately, yeah, you're playing two of the best. And so I know Coach Spags, that's a big sense of pride as he wants to stop the run, and he'll be getting after those guys, but I'm not too concerned yet.
I don't mean this to disparage a certain player, but we talk about good stats. So this one was being passed around yesterday. Tommy Eichenberg played 53 snaps for the Buckeyes against Tulsa at middle linebacker and recorded 0 tackles. Thing or not a thing?
It's always tough with college kids. I would say that's impossible. That should be impossible to play 53 snaps and record 0 tackles. That would be impossible. And if that is the case, and I don't know Tommy I would say maybe you ought to find somebody else to play the position then. And I'm not saying it's all his fault. Maybe he's not. Maybe he doesn't. Maybe there's confusion. Who knows? But that production, from my vantage point, now you made a living playing the position, so I'm a moron compared to you. But that seems impossible to me.
Well, it's definitely not something you want to read ever. I would hate games to where when I had like four or five tackles, you know, you play Purdue's of the world where they're throwing the ball all over the place, and a lot of tackles go to the corners and the safeties. But man, that's a lot of plays. There, I watched it. There's blitzing happening, right, to where it got picked up. Like our early blitzing downs that we did, they almost picked up our two inside backers every single time. Even on third down, they picked it up. They cut us. And so there's a couple times where we'd blitz and, you know, they had it blocked up. They were waiting for it. And then they would squirt through and Ronnie Hickman would be there. Ronnie's making a ton of tackles. And I'm of the opinion, like, you never want a safety making all the tackles. You know, like, it's just, anyway, there's a lot of stuff going on about the LBs right now that's circling around. We're not great in coverage either, I guess, but they're all, you know, like coaches keep saying, they're young. They gotta, sooner or later, you'll start to pick up things, and hopefully you'll see better production.
Philadelphia 76ers All-Star forward Ben Simmons will not report for the opening of training camp next week and intends to never play another game for the
Ooh.
Franchise, sources told ESPN on Tuesday. Thing or not a thing?
I would like one team to say, fine, we won't compensate you. Sit out the rest of your career.
Yeah.
I'd like one team to do that to a player at some point. He just signed an extension.
Yeah.
For a lot of money.
Yeah.
I would love the Sixers to say, you know what? I don't think we're going to have that here. We got a good team without you. We still have Joel Embiid. We're not going to pay you because you're refusing to report. And we're not going to trade you, so you're going to waste your prime.
Mm.
One time. And I'm pro player, but one time.
What's fascinating about it, too, Bo, is that, you know, a lot of these owners have that clout.
Yes.
Like, these owners could say, you know, it's funny, Ben. We really appreciate you. And we gave you the extension because we want you here. And if a deal comes up for you that we will take it. And we'll send you elsewhere. But we're not just going to ship you just because, okay? That's not in our best interest. But the funny thing is, Ben, is that we've been making a lot of money for many years owning this team with and without you.
Yeah.
And we will continue to make a lot of money. So while you are in your prime, if you don't show up, you won't get paid. And then you're choosing to give away millions of dollars. So you can sit out if you want. That's your choice. But and then we might suffer a little bit in the wins and losses record. But guess what? We'll still be there financially. Are you going to be there financially, Ben, if you don't play?
After suffering what looked like an injury on his throwing arm and throwing six interceptions in his first three games, Indiana quarterback Michael Penix was cleared by doctors and will remain the starter for the Hoosiers, according to Tom Allen. Thing or not a thing?
It's one of those things where he had such a magical year last year. And if you're Indiana, so much of what Tom Allen's trying to build there was on making sure last year wasn't a loss, you know, that you could build off of it. And it's a rough start for them. They had a tough schedule, obviously. But six picks in three games ain't going to get it cut. For a guy who many thought was the best quarterback returning in the Big Ten East, and probably was.
When you watch Indiana, even a year ago, it was so magical until Michael got hurt because of his ability to maneuver within the pocket and just chuck it downfield. But he was consistently under pressure. Like, everyone looks at the... If you look at just the stats, right? Indiana had one of the fewest sacks allowed all year. Look at Pro Football Focus. It's the worst graded O-line in the Big Ten in pass protection. Because Michael Penix would literally... escape sideways, bounce. Remember the Penn State game week one? I mean, Ole and those guys literally, I think they had like 14 QB hits, but like two sacks. And you're like, and they're on back-to-back plays. And you're like, my goodness, it's the same thing this year. They haven't gotten any better. Even throws that he's making, he's having to like back up. He can't step up in the pocket. I'm not saying he's playing great, but there's a lot of other issues.
Bishop and Lord.
Jeez. Oh my gosh. You doing in there, Chopper?
Hit the touch screen. Sorry.
Did you lean on something, Chopper?
Gosh. That was the end of my thought.
All right, we're good. Dan Dan Hope passing this along from the Ryan Day presser after several questions to Coach Day about the turf at Ohio Stadium. An Ohio State spokesperson says their plan is to replace the turf next year. Thing or not a thing?
I don't care about anything else. Put gray back in the turf. That is it. That's all I want. My petition every day, I'm marking it down right now. One of my three things every day from here on out will be put gray back in the turf.
Gray and turf. Can we add sleeves to it? Gray and turf, gray and sleeves. Both should be done. Should have been done a
every
long time.
Every day, that'll be my third thing. So I apologize.
No, I like that. I like the persistence of it. My guess is they've already ordered it, so they probably can't.
Probably have, but you know what's funny? Never mind. I'm not going to put it on their route.
Have to have gray.
Yeah.
Your scarlet
when your school
gray,
colors are scarlet and gray.
You're not scarlet and black.
Yeah. Don't try to pull an okey-doke and, we're going to sneak in and change our colors and not tell anybody. No. We're scarlet and gray. It's in the fight song.
That's right. Two things. One, and I've talked to a lot of people on this. You ought to be able to do grass there. So that's the first thing. So I know they're not, but you should be able to do it. You got to find a way to do grass. You're Ohio State, for crying out loud. Yeah. Get some grass sorted out. Second thing is obviously you go back to the gray in the end zones. Obviously, the Ohio State in gray. Clearly, that's what you do.
Yep.
The third thing, and this one I'm honestly serious about, can you wait that long? Because if I every time I see one of our guys go down, I look at that stuff and I go, are you putting people in harm's way?
Yeah.
By playing on turf that is clearly wrecked.
Yeah.
Are you putting people in harm's way? So that's, can you wait that long? I don't know if you can fast track turf. I mean, how long does it take? Does it take a month to install? I have no idea.
You're taking me down a path. I have no clue.
Yeah. Sorry. But I mean, honestly, I hope it's not too long. Get your Hey Guys questions into Chops, hashtag Hey Guys. We will get to those coming up next. And coming up a little bit later, also you're officially endorsed, one of the great, great press conference rants of all time turns 15 years old. We will get to that and have a little fun with that as well. Final hour on a first Friday. Bishop and Laurinaitis right here on The Fan.
Here's a listener tweet. Can I tase Common Man in the nuts? Fine by us, but he may like it. Common Man and T-Bone.
Weekdays from 3 to 6.
The Fan. Day drinking responsibly with a touch of class. This is Bishop and Laurinaitis.
And join Matt Andrews at Tyvus Powell Friday night under the lights for the Fans High School Football Game of the Week. Coverage of this week's matchup, Hilliard-Bradley at UA, starts Friday at 6:30 on The Fan. Catch highlights and scores from high school football games around Central Ohio on 1st and 10, Friday nights at 11:15 on 10 TV. Before we get to Hey Guys, a couple of notes from social. Tim tweeting that Lane Kiffin now follows two quarterbacks, Arch Manning and his own quarterback, Matt Corral, who may be the Heisman guy early on this season, is off to a very good start. Also, Derek doing a good job. Keep fighting the good fight, Derek. He tweets, Gene, hear me out. Scarlet end zones, gray letters, white outline. Also, let your Nike football friends know we prefer gray on the sleeves. Good job on you, Derek.
Yeah. That's a very good job out of you.
That solves it. That'll solve it. I think the only one who understands we like gray is that it's a school of colors. Coach,
you know what you could do too. You could also look at
puts gray on the uniforms.
Yeah, what the University of Texas did with bringing the colors up the side.
Oh,
that'd be
that.
Pretty sweet, you know. But
if you have to do turf, like that's a good way to do it.
Yeah,
the Rose Bowl way.
Yeah. Or if you didn't order, if you don't want to, did they say they're replacing turf with turf, or they just say they're replacing?
I think
Chops.
You heard it. Doesn't it seem like that's the?
Of course, that's what they're doing. But they should just say because you know what you could do. Oh, never mind. They couldn't. We did that in 06. We replaced the sod mid-season, and it was terrible. Terrible. We had a jersey scrimmage in fall camp.
Yeah.
We ruined the sod, and then mid-season it was so bad because there wasn't science back in 2006 to help plant new seed and stuff. And
I think they planted the wrong grass, is what I read. Now you never know.
Probably but did.
We've come a long way. It's
leave
been
it to all of our
years.
Smart people over at the university over there in the ag department to not figure out what grass to put. But they replaced it.
I'm not putting it on them.
First Michigan,
those
we were all slipping. I remember Lamar Woodley slipping. I remember all of us slipping.
Those people are salt of the earth.
They didn't put the right seeds in the earth. Is what they didn't do. They can be salt of the earth all they want, but they didn't put the right seeds in the earth.
All right, let's hit Hey Guys on a First Friday. Hit a check.
Nothing is off limits. Your participation is required. Just use the hashtag Hey Guys and ask Bishop and Laurinaitis anything you want. Do it now.
It's crazy how much quieter those are when you're expecting it. When you're not, it's like the loudest thing ever.
Oh, you're when you hit your thing? Yeah, you hit. What one was it? What one did you hit?
I hit thing or not a thing again because we were running out of time on it, so I needed to crossfade it on the other one.
I see.
And that one was already up. That was the issue.
It's a lot of FaceTime for you on this show today, I'm just realizing.
Yeah.
Too much chops.
A lot of FaceTime.
I think that's the right way to go. I think more chops, the better. First up in Hey Guys, Russell says, what's the superior fall activity? One, a corn maze. Two, apple picking. Three, pumpkin carving. Or four, he just gives you another.
Wow, that's a good job out of him.
Yeah, it is.
So you can find them that have all of that, right? I am not a pumpkin patch pumpkin carving guy. I find it to be overrated. I find that there's an incredible amount of excitement for my wife and children to carve the pumpkin. That runs out in about 62 seconds, and at which point I'm the only one carving a pumpkin and they've scattered. So I'm not that guy. I'll tell you what, though. You give me a corn maze where I can buy apple cider, sold.
Mm.
Sold.
So this is a confession about really no... I'll say things from time to time to where Shelly would be like, you really had no childhood. I'm like, well, I was raised by literally the animal, so what do you expect? Never did a corn maze in my life until, I think, last year.
Do they have them in Minnesota?
Of course they had them.
I didn't know.
The animal wanted to come back from the road and go to a corn maze?
No. I just didn't know. No, he didn't. Is corn, in the...
Oh, we have plenty of corn.
In the ground up there. Okay.
Yeah, we have plenty of corn. The other thing is apple picking. No, we didn't do apple picking. Now, I want to take the girls apple picking this fall, but we did not do that growing up. The only thing we did do was carve pumpkins. So that would be my thing. Right there. With the girls, we have, we did painting the pumpkins for the first few years, and now I think London wants to start carving this year. The scooping out of the inside is tedious and all that, but if you get the seeds and then you can toast them and it's a fun deal. Yeah. But, you're right. It's one of those things that I actually probably enjoy more than the girls, but hopefully London with her, great, like her father, attention span, not. We'll have a little better experience with that this year.
This one's half work.
Apple cider just sounds amazing.
Oh, it's so good.
Oh, especially today. Nice, chilly and rainy.
For it. Yep.
This one's half work, but what about the raking the leaves and playing in the piles?
No.
Not for you?
No.
Oh, I love that when the boys were young. I love that when the boys were young to build the big piles with the leaves and have them jump in it. I've got videos of Black Cobra when he was like 2.
That's awesome.
Just running into with the slow-mo and the smile on the face. I mean, this is why we live here, right? It's not for today where it's wet and gross, but you live for high 64, sunny.
Mm-hmm.
This is it. Mm-hmm. This is why we're here.
You could also get that in San Francisco. It's just slightly more expensive.
Correct.
Up next, Rob says, hey guys, if the game was this weekend, how are you feeling about it?
Woo!
Yes, not good. He called it. He called it.
Not good. When I texted you earlier this week, I said, I'm not sure what I would pick with what I just saw out of them and how we do not stop the run. You heard Thomas Hammack. Thomas Hammack was on Harbaugh's staff, John Harbaugh, with Jay Harbaugh, with Mike McDonald, with all those guys. And he said, this team has been constructed to beat Ohio State. They know that they're not going to go out there and be able to out-athlete them on the outside. So they said, we're not going to. We're going to try to get dirty. And I don't know if it'll work when it comes to
that. What took them so long?
I don't know.
This is what they should have been doing the whole time.
I don't know. And I don't know if it's even good enough this year. But all I know is that I don't think they'd run for 330 against us. But I'm not sure we could stop them under 200. I don't know. It's tough. What have we seen so far? We've gave up 501 total yards to Tulsa. I don't know.
I think it's more of, I don't know that they're gangbusters. And
I don't think they're gangbusters.
You've done their whole game. You did a whole game. I have not watched them play a whole game yet. So I'll reserve judgment till I see them play an entire. Who do they have this week?
Rutgers.
Poor Rutgers.
Okay. So
yeah, that's not great. But I'll pay a little bit of attention to that. I think it's more of an indictment of where we are defensively rather than them being good.
But I'll tell you what. Astronomically better. I think that they have a new scheme and a belief finally and an identity finally. But I think our defense,
the things that
concerned us last year, Justin Fields isn't here still to cover it all up.
And here's something. You mentioned Nico Collins. We talked about Donovan Peoples-Jones. It's not about talent. They've had talent.
Yeah.
They've had enough talent. They just didn't have belief. They didn't have identity. They didn't have a quarterback. They still don't have a quarterback. Maybe the young kid will become one. But what they have now is belief and identity. And I thought that's what he should have built the whole stinking program on.
Yeah.
I think I know where you're going to go with this one. Shelley says, what do you think of Elvis's new contract? Are the Jackets a playoff team this year?
I mean, I like the fact that they picked one. I think they botched the handling of it because you could have traded. If this is the way you felt, you could have traded Corpy High coming off of the playoff appearance, you know, in the bubble. And I don't feel very good at all about their playoff chances, but I understand that going in. And honestly, I hope they don't make the playoffs.
Yeah.
I hope that they're the worst team in the NHL so that they can pick number one. I want them to pick in the top two or three. I want to see young guys have moments, and I want this team to play hard and have culture and all of those things. But primarily, I want them to lose because I want them to pick in the top two or three for the next 2 years.
Yeah, I think it's tough, right? Because when you pay a goaltender like that, you're going to steal some games.
right?
So picking number
that's
one.
Fear.
I'm happy that they chose a guy, and I'm happy that they chose a guy that I think can be the absolute rock star because of his personality. Like, he can be a rock star in the NHL, not just Columbus, Ohio. Having said that, I think that I'll put it this way. I'm more optimistic about this team. I don't think they're a playoff team, but I'm more optimistic. I do think it will be better than I had anticipated it being, which I know is not what you don't want. My fear is that they're in the middle of the road, but I'll acknowledge this. I do not have the intelligence to digest, you know, NHL prospects, right? And how our draft was, and really have a strong. I'm happy that Mr. Davidson has a really good opinion about it, and that Yarmo does. So I think, you know, that makes you happy, but I think it's still too soon to be thinking playoffs.
Ryan says, hey guys, I'm headed to Farm Aid this weekend for essentially my dream concert lineup. For you both, who are the artists performing at your dream concert?
Oh, gosh. This is such a tough one, Bo, because you're going to piss off so many people no matter who you say. right? Like, you're going to say somebody, how do you listen to that? All right. Dream concert lineup. You can go first. I know there's people that I want to see that I haven't seen, but I don't know if that's like a dream. You know, I've really wanted to see Mumford & Sons since I didn't go to the concert in St. Louis at the Pageant, which is a historical, like, standing room only, small music venue that every single up-and-coming artist has been to, right? There's pictures all over the backstage and all that, and they went and played there. I had only heard, like, their first song, and I was like, I'm not really sure this folky kind of band will really do it for me. And then, you know, my buddy Dave Bora came back and said it was the most epic thing he's ever seen in his life. And I haven't been able to meet up with them ever since. So that'd be one that I would want to go to. There is a concert here next Sunday that I wanted to go to. Maverick City Music and Brandon Lake, but they're both, you know, they're both Christian recording artists I've really wanted to see for a while, and I enjoy a lot of their music, so do the girls. But I don't know if there's really one where it's like, I've gone to Timberlake. He was incredible. You know? So it's like, I don't really have an artist. And my music has changed so much since I was in college. You know, I went and saw Gucci Mane and Lil Wayne in college. You know? That was an experience. And then now I don't even hardly listen to rap like that anymore. So it's just, I don't know. Do you have a dream one?
Well, okay. So I'm assuming I can go posthumous here since it's a dream. So I would have two separate kind of lines of thinking here. And this is something that as I've gotten older, I've become to appreciate more, which is my roots in music, which is in country music, which is what I listen to. It's kind of almost the background of my life as a kid. So if I were to give you like the dream
save
lineup,
a horse, ride a cowboy.
Not quite that type of country. I would open with a little Sturgill Simpson, and then I would go into Willie Nelson, and then I would go into Johnny Cash. Like, you give me that threesome.
That's a win.
And that's a home run hitter.
That's
a
win.
That's a bombshell out of the gates. I think another one that would
this
be...
This Farm Aid lineup has Willie Nelson and family and Sturgill Simpson.
Well, that's a great lineup then. That's a fantastic lineup. Sturgill's unbelievable. But the thing that you'd be surprised if the kids out there going, Willie Nelson, I'm telling you, he's written every song that you know. I saw him play in Red Lodge, Montana 20 years ago. He played for 3 hours. I knew every song.
Yeah.
Every song. Because he's the stuff that he's written for other people.
Yeah.
So much.
That was one of my favorite things in Nashville is we went to this fundraiser for like a local school that the Cortland and Lacey Finnegan's kids went to. And it was just a songwriter event. And so you go to it and you're like, I don't know what this is. And then the songwriters actually start playing the songs that they wrote. And you're like, holy smokes, is this a top 40 countdown? You know,
right.
Like he's this normal looking people, you know, they're doing a fundraiser, their kids go to the local school too. And you're hearing all these hits and you're like, oh my goodness, this is incredible. You're spoiled too when you play in professional sports, whenever concerts come in. I mean, I got to go see a ton of country concerts, but, my childhood, yours was raised on country. My dad was rocking, you know, Queen, you know, and some of that. Other than that, my dad did not want to hear the radio. My dad, can I put the radio on? No, I want silence. Why? Because I've had nothing but noise for days on the road. Okay. All right.
So what's amazing right now in music is it really is for the first time, and I've realized this, it's absolutely timeless. The stuff that my kids, so they will yell, they will ask the car, they will search the car on things to play. Like when we go to football games in the morning, it's Hell's Bells, it's Thunderstruck, it's Welcome to the Jungle. Like, those are the songs they want to hear, are those songs, right?
Yep.
Those are their pump-up songs. Like, Renegade, God forbid. You know, I mean, like, those are the things that they play because those, like, they don't realize that those songs are almost 40 years old in some instances.
Yep.
There's no point of reference on it. It's just good music. And because it's not released, like, in the old days on a record or a tape or a CD, it's all just streaming. So there's no point of reference to, oh, this song's... They have no idea how old songs are.
Right.
They have no clue.
Yeah.
They just like what they like.
Yep.
Because there's stuff that you expose them to.
There's no doubt.
It's a wild time. I
wish I might have my old Jock Jams tapes. I'd get those rolling. I'm sure you can find them somewhere on the line.
All that stuff's undefeated. It all works.
Yeah.
It's the same stuff. Like, you should see... They lose their minds when you play this stuff on the way to a football game. The same way I did as a kid.
Yeah.
Because the stuff's timeless.
Yeah.
It serves the purpose.
My experience is a little different.
But what did you play? What was your pump on the way to high school games?
Oh, gosh. You don't even want to know. I mean.
Was it hip-hop, probably?
You don't even want to know, bro. It was like, Lil Jon and the East Side Boys, Arch. I mean, We Ready.
See,
all that stuff was when I was in high
school. That's the 10-year difference, though, between you and I.
I couldn't stand rock.
But when I was a kid, there wasn't pump-up hip-hop.
Yeah.
You know, it was Run DMC.
Man, I was listening
Beastie
to like,
Boys.
When I listen
like,
to some of the songs now, I'm like, why did my mom let me listen to that? Dr. Dre, some of the old Eminem albums. I'm like, oh my goodness. Like, it's way harder for me to listen to it now than back then. I used to sing along to it back then. I'm like, this is dicey. I don't support really any of this in life.
No. It's got a heck of a hook, though.
It does.
All right.
It's got a great beat. It sounded great with the 212s in the back of the Chrysler Cirrus, you know?
That's
I had to put socks
right.
in the trunk to keep it from rattling too loud, you know?
That's awesome.
Bolts falling off it.
Coming up next, it is the 15th anniversary of one of the great rants in sports history. We will have it for you coming up next. Bishop and Laurinaitis right here on The Fan.
Unlike your deadbeat uncle, we'll never leave you stranded in a ditch when you were six. This promo may have been a touch too specific. The Fan is First Friday Somewhere.
That's a big sense of freedom.
You're listening to Bishop and Laurinaitis.
Bishop and Laurinaitis right here on The Fan. And if you are in the market for a new vehicle or pre-owned, head over east of downtown to my friends at Germain Toyota of Columbus. They have amazing deals on all of their outstanding Toyota models right now. And if you're thinking about selling your car, please give them a chance. They will pay top dollar right now. And you don't have to buy one of their vehicles. They will just take your car onto their lot today. They'll give you a hassle-free offer on your vehicle. Go to 5711 Scarborough Boulevard or see them online, germaintoyota.net.
All right, I got this from Clint, I talked about the grass on the field. He says the field prior to 06 was primarily Kentucky bluegrass. The decision was made to change to perennial ryegrass. It is more traffic wear tolerant. From what he heard from his boss, who's a golf course superintendent, is that the grass got diseased and they couldn't get it under control.
Ugh.
So there is.
How
our,
do you let the shoe get diseased?
You hate to see it. Yeah, absolutely hate to see it. All right. 15 years ago today, one of the most famous coach rants of all time happened.
Yeah.
Let's have a listen.
If your child goes down the street and somebody makes fun of him because he dropped a pass in a pickup game or says he's fat and he comes home crying to his mom, you'd understand. But you haven't had that. But someday you will. And when your child comes home, you'll understand. If you want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, you go after one that doesn't do the right things. You don't downgrade him because he does everything right and may not play as well on Saturday. And you let us make that decision. That's why I don't read the newspaper. Because it's garbage. And the editor that let it come out is garbage. Attacking an amateur athlete for doing everything right. And then you want to write articles about guys that don't do things right and downgrade them, the ones that do make plays. Are you kidding me? Where are we at in society today? Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40. I'm not a kid. Write something about me or our coaches.
It's Mike Gundy. I don't know if that happens in 2021. I don't think it does.
I mean,
I think we're far more aware of viral moments. We're more aware of social media. And this was, if memory serves, this is in response to a young female reporter who had written a story about his quarterback at the time. And I don't know that that happens in 2021, but it happened in 2007. And it led to one of the most famous, I'm a man, I'm 40. People say it all the time. I say it to my wife. I'm a man. I'm 40. Like that's a line that's common.
It's literally become such a common line. I mean, I don't know if he really realized. Obviously, he didn't realize in the moment that he would become almost more known for this than some of the good teams he's had there.
Well, I'm going to give you something else too. So this happened in the 2007 season. It's 15 years old. So it happened in the 2007 season at Oklahoma State. That was his third year at Oklahoma State. So his first year he went 4-7, then he went 7-6, then he went 7-6 in 2007. So out of this, there was some fame that come, some notoriety that came with it. These are his next four seasons. 9-4, 9-4, 11-2, 12-1. Dez Bryant played there during that time. Brandon Whedon played there during that time. Zach Robinson, I believe, is the quarterback who played there during that time. Justin Blackman, yeah, the wide receiver who was a first-round pick. I think you could make a point and a decent argument that this elevated his program. They played in a Cotton Bowl, a Fiesta Bowl in that time.
Yeah.
I mean, 2011, 4 years later, he's 12-1. They win the Big 12, and he's playing in this Fiesta Bowl.
They had, I mean, it was year after year they had a dude coming out at receiver.
Yeah.
That's all I know.
I think in a way, he leaned into this. Gundy leaned into it.
Of course.
He took it a step further, and then the mullet.
Yep.
Like, all of that followed this. You wonder, like, if this doesn't happen, if he doesn't become famous for this, do people become aware of him? Because what is this at the root of it? And again, I don't think it would happen now. I don't think a coach would take that tone now. Saban does a little bit, so quit asking and all that stuff. But not to this extent, right? So, but what at the root of what he was doing, he was defending a player.
Yeah.
So he goes to at that time, he goes into those Texas high school locker rooms and those coaches.
Yep.
And they say, this guy will have your back.
Yep. No question. And question.
That's what happened. That's what happened in recruiting. He's had a remarkable run there.
Mm.
It's been there 16 years.
Did you see the news that just popped through?
No.
Leonard Monroe.
No.
Ohio State linebacker Dallas Gant has entered the transfer portal.
Well, yeah. I mean, this is where this is what you're going to have. This is what you're going to have. You're going to have a new – this is college football.
Regardless of what Dallas Gant was or wasn't doing, it was a very thin position group. That's why you moved the running back to linebacker. That's why you pounded the table for a USC transfer. That's why you played the USC transfer on the field before he even took his black stripe off. We need the people. You don't want to see any of those guys in that room, regardless of production. It's just depth. It's just depth. I mean, both Cody Simon and Tommy Eichenberg are wearing shoulder braces. You can see it on their arm. The spring game, they played like six guys only, five guys at linebacker because guys were hurt. It's just not what you want to see. Guess what you can't do? You're not bringing somebody in off the portal right now.
So he's in the 2018 class.
A guy that's been talked about a lot.
Mm-hmm. Four-star kid out of Toledo in the 2018 class. So
yeah,
this is part of college football now.
Yeah.
Is that this can happen. And it's something that you have to navigate, and coaches have to be aware of it.
Yep.
And I'm sure you're trying to talk them out of it. To this point, we've done a pretty good job of doing it. But this is where you're at when you're talking about transferring and leaving teams in the middle of seasons.
Yeah.
It's not just happening here. It happened at Utah. Brewer left.
Yeah.
Quarterback. Now, he hasn't popped up in the portal yet, right, Chops? But he left the team?
Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah. And that's part of it. You got to be – look – if you're Charlie Brewer, you go there, you don't know these guys, right? You know them a little bit from a recruiting visit, but when, you know, things start to happen, go wrong, and then all of a sudden you get benched, and you're like, wait a second, I wouldn't have gotten benched at my old spot, but, you know, and then forget it, I'm out of here, I'm done.
Yeah.
You know, and then now what? Now what's your alma mater? It goes both ways. I'm not saying that it's a good decision, bad decision, right? It goes both ways. Like, I'm not so sure some of these quarterbacks in our room are we 100% sure that some of them would transfer if they don't get playing time? Who's to say a kid doesn't like just being in Columbus and realizes, you know what, if I can't win this battle, maybe I won't be a quarterback. You know, maybe I don't want to play in the NFL. Maybe I want to try to play big-time college football, and maybe I made a business relationship, and now my life is set up for the future. I mean, we don't know the motivations of everybody.
Well, and in the scenario that you just laid out, we're not going to, because you're not going to talk to him.
No. No.
So you're not going to get a feeling in terms of what motivates them.
Nope.
But this is the reality of college football in 2021. Yeah. And again, I don't blame Dallas Gant. Like,
no. It just stinks because he was a name that so many publications talked about, right? He was one of the names that when you said, who's going to replace the four?
Yeah.
Him and Taraja.
4 years.
Yeah. Him and Taraja were the two names that you kept saying, oh, they're finally going to see the field.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if, you know, it's been something where Hickman's played a lot. Obviously, Eichenberg plays a lot. Simon plays a lot.
Yeah.
So, you know, could the message be saying, hey, man, we're going to go young here? Mm. So, you got a transfer portal. It's college football in 2021, like it or not. Bishop and Laurinaitis right here on The Fan.
1, 2, 3. The Daily Coach Ryan Day Show is brought to you locally by Credit Union of Ohio and by Hyde Park Prime Steakhouse on The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
This is The Daily Show with Coach Ryan Day, brought to you by Safe Light Auto Glass. Just after week three, some general thoughts about the defensive performance last Saturday, Ryan.
I mean, I thought they were steps in the right direction. We're not where we need to be, but we're settling into some different packages, I think, some personnel. And, across the board, there are some guys who are stepping up and playing well. Still some different things execution-wise. If we clean up, you know, three or four plays in that game, it's different. But that's part of playing this game. You know, it comes down to one or two plays, and that can make or break you on defense. So, looking to continue to build up more and more reps for a lot of these younger players and even for the older players. I mean, there's some guys in the program that have been here for a couple years. And so when I say younger, I just mean inexperienced, you know. The more these guys play, the better they're going
to
be.
Okay, we'll have another comment in just a moment.
Sports talk distilled to its purest form. You're listening to Bishop and Laurinaitis.
Bishop and Laurinaitis right here on The Fan. Let me talk to you real quick about ridiculously good salsa. When you're out there tailgating or at home watching the game and you need a good shareable snack, go with my go-to. That's ridiculously good salsa. Share it with family, friends, neighbors, whoever. I promise you, you're going to love this stuff. Find it at Whole Foods, Wylands, the Hills Market, and at the Dublin Market, which I believe the last weekend will be this weekend for that. That's where I get it. Oh, by the way, last weekend for the Dublin Market, get over there. Say hello. Mild, happy, meaty, yum. Get that? Meaty, yum. That's one. I feel like that's a Chops joke. High heat. All have the perfect flavor. Hi, I'm Chops. I like meaty, yum. I love this stuff. You guys will, too. Go check them out. Ridiculously good salsa.
Two updates from
that's
the...
a dadism, too, by the way. My dad would have loved that. Medium, get it? It's so funny. Oh, yeah, Dad, got it.
Yeah,
got it.
This is from in NFL circles. Tua Tagovailoa down this week. He's got fractured ribs, so it'd be Jacoby Brissett for the Dolphins. Somebody named Reed Sinnett is the backup. An undrafted player out of San Diego is the backup for Miami. In Houston, Tyrod Taylor placed on injured reserve, expected to miss the next 3 to 4 weeks. Obviously, they have Deshaun Watson, but he will remain inactive, and so Jeff Driskel will be the backup there to Mr. Mills, who we saw up against Cleveland. So just getting you that information before you place any wagers for the weekend and before we do the scores tomorrow. Obviously, kind of the story of the day is Dallas Gant. He's in his fourth year.
Yep.
So he's been here. He's been patient. Mm-hmm. He is playing, and yet he's had enough. So I think... You know, I saw some of the stuff from Austin and Tim May on this on social in terms of that of the surprise of it that he is playing and all of those things and why would you do that now? I do wonder. I guess what I would wonder then is what if he was told something this week, or what if there was something that was done this week that said, "Hey, we're going this way now." And I don't even know. You're studying the depth chart, you know, certainly in preparation for the game.
Well,
what
there is
could
no
that
depth
be?
Chart. There is right? no depth chart.
There is
look
one.
At the game notes. There is no depth chart. We've become a it's like Michigan. There's no depth chart.
To protect the innocent?
I just don't. I think right now there's so many people playing. I honestly think if you listen to some of the coaches' comments, and I'm excited to talk to Coach Barnes about this because I haven't talked to Coach Barnes before. I'm assuming they'll have him on the call. And just kind of say, hey, the point of playing so many players is that because you're trying to find – who fits what, you know? Or is that because of managing egos? What is it? Because we're still playing a ton of guys, you know? And you kind of heard Coach Day kind of said, we're trying to find who we can count on a little bit. And like you said, maybe it was a conversation of, hey, or maybe he just felt like even though he had been playing, it wasn't like when you saw out there all the time that it was just consistent Dallas Gant on the field. You know, there was a rotation stuff things to it. Maybe he thought that he was going to be one of the guys. And maybe as this thing has unfolded early, that they said, no, we're going to continue to play these guys. And he said, well, I'm not sticking. I thought I stuck around because I was told I was going to be. I don't know. I don't want to speculate too much, right?
Sure.
Because I'm not in the locker room. So, but regardless, whenever you have a defense that's stumbling and all that, it's not good, you know, PR because a lot of people around the country are going to look at it and say, well, look at the, that's a spot that they need improvement on. And when you're highly touted, vets is going elsewhere. But I don't want to speculate.
This is all ignorance on my part. I acknowledge it. Could he play like in 2 weeks somewhere else?
I don't know.
I know we have the free transfer.
Yeah.
He's been here 4 years from an eligibility standpoint.
Transfer the Rutgers and play for Greg Schiano against us next week?
No, I don't right. know. Is that possible?
I don't know how that works with school and all that.
Yeah.
There is a school system where you have to transfer credits and make sure all that kind of lines up.
Right. Like that has to be sorted out. I mean, would he, you know, where would he be eligibility wise? Those type of things. It is a position, though, of great concern on this roster because it's not playing at the level, and it's not. This isn't new. I mean, it's been this way for a while. Mm-hmm. We haven't had great linebacker. We had great linebacker play since Fick left.
I would say no.
You know, the defense was good under Halfley the 1 year.
Yeah.
But in terms of, I'm talking about that position, like the play at that position and the recruiting at that position.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. I don't know if we've had that since Fick left. So
There have been flashes. Sure. You know, like there are flashes of Pete Warner playing great, but I mean, you know, Baron Browning had his moment. There's certain the stuff though, man, where you're just, yeah, I don't know. That's a good question. Has it really been to our standard?
Has it been up
we
to
expect?
The standard? Because like, this
we
is
were,
the real
like, there was a while there where we really yeah. were arguing with Penn State fans about LBU.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, and yep. For whatever reason, we just haven't had the production there.
No. Have not. All right. It is the first Friday. We get your officially endorsed plus three things coming up next. Bishop and Laurinaitis right here on The Fan.
If the sound of another man slammed against plexiglass turns you on, you've come to the right place. Proud to be your home for Jackets hockey. The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Two men complaining about first world problems.
You're not getting the point, kid.
This is Bishop and Laurinaitis.
All right. It's the first Friday, kids. It's a fall. It's an autumn.
You drink for the wrong reasons. My generation, we drink because it's good. Because it feels better than unbuttoning your collar. Because we deserve it. We drink because it's what men do.
Well, this is the season. Tis the season, kids. This from now until spring. This is bourbon season. It's exciting. The weather gets a little cooler. A nice cocktail on a first Friday evening will do you well. So we will start with a baseline. It's interesting. We played Roger Sterling there, and this specific cocktail, I am convinced, had a renaissance because of the show Mad Men, and because it was ordered quite a bit on that show by Don Draper. It is the old fashioned. So this is how I make them. And what I like in this is a mellow bourbon. So a 90 proofer is where I am on this one. I think that does the best job for me. And again, a subjective process. I'm not going to give you a bourbon you can't get. There's a lot of great ones. You know what they are. A really good one that you ought to be able to get that's usually in every liquor store is Larceny. So let's use Larceny bourbon for the case of this conversation today. So you're going to take your Larceny bourbon, about 2 ounces. You're going to take, this is how I make my old fashioned. You're going to go 2 organic brown sugar cubes and mull those together. All right, just mull those up and crush them. Take a couple of drops of Luxardo cherry juice and put those on the sugar cubes. Take 2 dashes of black walnut bitters onto the mash that you're making with the sugar cubes. Then take a couple of drops of the bourbon and then get that so it liquefies. All right, put that in a cocktail shaker. Pour the rest of the bourbon into the cocktail shaker and shake it to dissolve the sugar. It's important that you dissolve the sugar. Then take a cocktail glass with 1 large cube, pour over, throw 2 Luxardos in it, and you're welcome. And that is your officially endorsed. Time for 3 things.
3 things with Bishop and Laurinaitis.
Sponsored by Custom Air. Custom Air. Custom Solutions. Custom Comfort.
All right, number one for me. I told you earlier in this week how Bootsy was upset about a quarter zip that I picked out for him because he only wears fancy on picture day, which would lead you to believe that when it came time for picture day, that he'd be okay with it. Nope. Turns out not so much. It was all a big long con. Today was picture day. He's in a fancy little button-down. 30-minute fit. I don't like to wear fancy to school. I don't want to wear fancy. I don't want to wear... 30 minutes, man. For the dude. Sent to his room multiple times. By the way, it's his mom's birthday while all this is going on.
Oh.
Less than ideal behavior.
Happy birthday to the blonde.
Yeah, yeah. It's not a happy morning.
Yeah.
I assure you of that. I literally said... This is the last thing I said to them. This morning, before I was doing some show prep, had some other things to do this morning that took me out of the house, and I go, it's your mom's birthday. Behave. I come back, World War III, DEFCON 2.
Yeah. Behave. Lock it up. You lock it up. No, you lock it up.
That's right. Kindly leave, Bootsy.
My first thing, please put gray in the sleeves and on the turf. Thank you.
All right. My first thing, J-Lo made lasagna yesterday, and it's her best lasagna she's ever made. I don't know if it's the new kitchen or just that, you know, she's been cooking for both of us most of the meals. I try, but I can't cook. She's just kind of been, you know, figuring out whatever those little changes are, that little bit of skill that you gain. She's been making the last few weeks like a couple of the best versions of whatever she's making. Very excited about that. It's very good.
Number two for me, so a buddy of mine works for Adidas, and he's in their custom shoe In other words, when an athlete says, hey, can you get me some of these? Like a lot of times you'll see like the cleats or whatever that NFL players use. I saw DeSean Jackson had some Kobe ones. Those customizations. So he does that for Adidas. I've known this guy 20 years. So on his IG feed this week, I'm like, oh, this looks familiar. And he did the custom Ultra Boost that the crew ownership gave to all the crew players for winning the championship and and certain executives. They're awesome. And it was a crazy worlds colliding moment. I've known this guy 20 years, and he designed the shoes that the soccer team of record in this fine town will get as a little gift, and they're pretty sweet.
Very cool. Very cool. My second thing, I hinted about this earlier. I heard that the sun won't set after 7:30 p.m. until March again. So you were saying, oh, temperatures are coming down. I said that to Shelley this morning, and she goes, yeah, it also means we probably won't see the sun until March. I was like, fair. Fair.
Right.
But at least I got my long sleeves on today. I got my Carhartt rain jacket behind me. I'm going to go check the stream levels after this. So you won't see the sun for a while.
It stinks when it sets really early. I actually think between 7:30 and 8 is the perfect sunset time. I don't like in the summer when the sun's up till 9. 9 is nighttime.
It's tough to put the kids to bed when it's that late, too. Yes.
My second thing, Bills Mafia greeted the team at the airport, or at least some people of Bills Mafia, following their 35-0 win against the Dolphins. It's great. You love your team, all that stuff. That seems like a real waste of time to me, to greet people after a regular season game. You're not going to catch me doing that.
Certainly not. Finally, number three for me, happy birthday to the blonde. It's interesting. You fall in love with someone because they're smoking hot like 20 years ago. And then they end up becoming like your best friend. And then they end up becoming someone who helps you raise children and is capable of so much. And all these years later, you love them as much as you did the first day. And that's about as big as win as you can get. Now, I know that she would never listen to the show or anything I do, frankly. So if you are one of her friends and you hear me being nice to her, go ahead and let her know that I was. Please.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's amazing what you see, what your partner, like, you see different layers to them.
Yeah.
To where you're just, like, more and more impressed at the stuff that they battle through and help you battle through. If I am hungover tomorrow morning, I apologize. It's because I made four or five of Bo's old fashions. Because tonight is the night a year ago that Pops passed away. So if I'm hungover in the morning, you'll know why.
Pops tonight.
Yeah, to Pops, you get a complete pass on that hangover as well. Last one from me. I saw this. This is from an article in, I think, the San Francisco Gate. In 1998, they had a promotion at this local Mexican restaurant where if you get a tattoo of their logo, you get free food for life. Ooh. Sign me up. Who's going to do that? I'm throwing it out there. Any Mexican restaurant in the Columbus, Ohio area, I will get your logo tattooed on me if you offer me free Mexican food for life.
I feel like we can get that done pretty easily, certainly. All right, good job, fellas. We're back tomorrow for more fun. Rothman and Ice up next. Bishop and Laurinaitis right here on The Fan.
Hey there, friends. Bo Bishop here, and the hoops action is heating up, and Tipico Sportsbook is the best place to bet on the playoff action. Enjoy the most rewarding sportsbook with the hottest promos. Bet on select games. Earn a bet credit for each three-pointer made. Continue to rack up the rewards with the highest cashback in the industry with up to 5% cashback on your bets. Sign up now. Enter the promo code THEFAN100 to get $100 in bonus bets when you bet $25. Download the Tipico Sportsbook app today. That's promo code THEFAN100. Must be 21 or older, physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.